This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up? You are listening to Heavy Meta.
What is up, motherfuckers? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And you, you motherfuckers just interrupted me, you fucking asshole.
Yes, of course, Kevy is back to square one with his 21-step interrupting course.
Fucking off the wagon. Fell off.
2 steps forward, 3 steps back. That's what we're going to be saying.
What I do.
Yeah. Welcome, people. We've got a pretty cool episode this week of Heavy Meta. We've got MTG Theros world building stuff to talk about. We've got spoilers that have occurred. We have field reports from GP Oakland. We got all kinds of good stuff, man. Apparently,
our battleship.
Yeah. Apparently, there was this is something we've got to start right at the top. So I saw a tweet from the one and only Mr. Boats, fucking Conley Woods. Did you guys, like, fucking sabotage his whole GP or something? Like,
did you... the whole GP, just the second day of it.
Yeah, our party, it wasn't an O2 drop. See, his was an X1 drop party. That's what happened for him. he said we didn't sabotage him. But in the article, we were a contributing part. He had himself such a good time that, you know, he felt having a good time was more valuable than taking the time to get to sleep or finding something to eat so that he could perform good the next day. So,
you guys know, like, that's what I did for the whole weekend in GP Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I dropped during registration at GP Vegas.
Oh, you're just a lightweight, so you gotta eat. See, I know how to eat. I get the barbecue going. I was able to party all night, eat in the morning, go perform. You know, it's a mental game.
Yeah, Marcel's a fucking monster, man.
he is, man.
That dude's fucking hung with me, like, the whole fucking weekend, but, like, I dropped that registration. Marcel killed it up until, like, halfway through day two. Like, he was fucking on a roll. I blame the booze.
Yeah, I do too.
I totally would have top aided that bitch if I was.
Oh,
sober.
Yeah. Yeah, Modern Masters, Kevin. Oh, man. That one day. But, you know, if there ever is an ability to make a new team and Kevin Metal and freaking Conley Woods, you know, get together, I would pay to see that, Kevin. If you ever want to quit your job and take the pro tour down.
No, I was just saying today on Twitter, somebody was talking about how actually using your computer is just kind of like so 2009. I'm like, fuck yeah, I don't even know how to use my computer anymore. All I do is podcast. If they had Moto on my iPhone, I'm way better on my iPhone. Fuck, dude, I'd wreck PTQs. I'd be on Pro Tour by now. I'd lose my job because I'd be playing Magic at work all day, but it wouldn't matter. I'd be winning all this Magic money. All I'd have to do is learn how to play Magic, and then, fuck, dude, I'd be set. You guys don't even know. I've got a foolproof plan.
Fuck being a rock star. You could be a Magic star, right?
God damn right.
I think the truth is you would probably get all the Magic pros. You would lower their game by hanging out with you every night, right, to the point where they couldn't drink as much as you.
That's what I was saying, too, is, like, you know, me and Conley being on the pro tour together is oddly unlikely as that is. We wouldn't even ever make it to day two. So, I mean.
Kevy would see to that. And, you know.
Yeah, I'd make sure. How'd you do today? Better than me? Fuck you. You ain't making it to the tournament.
See, Conley would actually, you know, not say Conley would, but, you know, maybe they might hire Kevy to send him out to the other team so that they could party with him just so they could sabotage their day too.
No shit.
Why do you got, yeah, Channel Fireball's like, Kevin, we'll pay you to go hang out with Star City Games Black for the night.
Yeah, Conley, there you go. I'm your secret weapon. No, that was actually a lot of fucking fun. Hanging out with Boats was fucking cool as shit. He was fucking awesome. Told me all about how his fucking dad's a drummer, bought my album, told me he was going to send it to his dad, fucking sat there, drank with us, bullshit. It was a good time.
Awesome. So what was GP Oakland like? Was the venue cool? Did you guys actually get to see any of it?
No. They didn't go in. We tried to get people to come to the party because, you know, the party was kind of lacking.
Okay, so like this, the reason I didn't even make it to the venue until after, like, till the last round of the tournament was because of this ridiculous fucking road trip that we had to take to Oakland. Now, like, Oakland is about 6 hours from where I live. Problem was, so we were gonna go up Friday, right? Yeah. We had this fucking super intricate plan on how we was gonna go up on Friday, and then just find some shit to do, you know, hang out Friday night, and then we'd be up Saturday, fucking do whatever, go to the tournament site. Like, I just get dropped off the tournament site, hang out with Scott at the booth all day. That was the plan. Well, then we all decided to audible into, let's not spend another night's fucking hotel room because we're all kind of on broke right now. So let's not spend an extra night in a hotel for no reason. Let's just get we'll actually practice Friday night, get another practice in, and then we'll get up early as fuck on Saturday and leave. Well,
that didn't happen.
Jerome and I ended up drinking till like 4:30 in the morning. and it was the lead guitar player for my band. Anyway, we ended up drinking till like 4:30 in the morning and then finally crash out, get up the next morning. Like, we're planning on leaving at like 6 or 7. So then we got up there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we got up at like 9, which was fucking amazing, like, to even have done that. Got up, got our shit ready real quick. We already had everything all packed in the trailer and then got on the road. Well, first we got to go to Bakersfield, which is about an hour and a half fucking east of here, but it's on the way. I had to go to Bakersfield, meet up with our manager, and get, like, our CDs and shit because we're not allowed to touch our merchandise anymore because the last time we were in charge of our own fucking merchandise – we ended up with, like, a trailer, a big old banner that says the Barstool Saints, you know, with our logo and shit on it. And, like, no money for more merch at all because the stuff we did sell went to, like, equipment. And the stuff we didn't sell was because 3-4 CDs a night would just disappear because we're just all, oh, what's up? You liked our band? Right on. You're cute. Here.
Yes. Yeah, it's a cute discount.
So then when we actually, like, when our manager opened his label and started the label side of things, he's like, all right, tell you what, I'm going to buy more merch for you guys since you guys are fucking children and can't do this for yourselves. But I'm going to hold on to it until we play shows, and then I will sell it, and I will make my money back. And then after I've made my money back, you guys can have some. I mean, fair enough. Like, you know, we're fucking retarded. We can't handle our own finances. So we're the fucking talent. We're not supposed to deal with that shit.
That's right.
So, like, we had to stop in Bakersfield and we had to hit Guitar Center so that we could grab a couple things and then have our manager meet us there so that we could grab our shit. So that ends up taking an extra fucking hour. And then we had to stop and eat. And then we finally get back on the road and we realize, like, yeah, dude, we're going to have to, unless we want to fill up 7 times on this trip, we're going to have to kick it back to like 55. And so this trip takes us all day. We're literally watching the fucking gas needle in the fucking Hemi that we're driving, fucking watching it drop. Like, you just look over every once in a while and be like, wow, I'm actually watching the fucking gas needle get low.
How much is the tank?
Like 95.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, we had to fill that thing up 4 times between there and back home. Like, it was fucking terrible.
You know, so, did you guys get to the top of hills and just put it in neutral and just
coast down? The new running joke in the fucking in the band room now. Jared's wife was asking why, like, it's taking so much, and she's like, it seems like we're just going uphill the whole fucking way. I'm like, God damn it, that's because we're driving north. We're going up the map. We're going to spend half the gas on the way back because we're going south.
Oh, that's golden, you know, right there.
I heard it first.
It actually took us less fucking gas to get back than it did to get there for some reason. So I'm saying that's a sound theory.
I think you're right, man. You're onto something there.
But anyways, then we get up to the Bay Area, and like we're just following. Like a couple of us had our GPS, had the addresses, our GPSs, and then Jared's wife is like, you know, giving him the directions, sitting up in the front seat with him anyway. So we just kind of stopped doing what we were doing. We went back to fucking playing video games on our phones and shit. Well, she had put the bar is the only address she had from the flyer. So she had the bar in her fucking GPS. So that's the direction she's given us. And it wasn't until we were like right next to downtown Oakland on the freeway that we realized we're supposed to be going to the hotel. That's like 30 minutes south. So we turn around, go down to Union City and find our hotel. We get into our hotel at like 6 o'clock. We left at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's 6 o'clock now when we show up at the hotel. It's a 9 hour trip that should have taken fucking six. So we get to the hotel. I fucking jump in the shower, start getting ready and stuff. The guys are like, oh, we're going to cruise next door, go get something to eat. And I start realizing the plan was as soon as we got there, I was going to have them drop me off at the fucking GP. But now that we're already 30 minutes south of the fucking GP, there's no way they're going to drive me back up north, yeah, drop me off, and then come back later. So I was like, well, I'm just going to have to go when they go. So we fucking – they – forever. I got ready. They took forever eating dinner and shit. And we finally moseyed our way on up to fucking downtown. We found a place to park. Got a hold of Marcel. Marcel's fucking standing outside the fucking venue when we drove by. And I was like, oh shit, there's Marcel. Oh, there's Scott too. And we had to drive around in circles for like a fucking another 10 minutes trying to find a place to park or trailer. Anyway, so we hook up with them. And then come to find out when we get to the venue that, like, the GP itself got started, like, super fucking late.
What was 2 hours late.
2 hours late.
Oh.
I guess they had an accident on the freeway that, like, you know, like, traffic jam kind of thing that kept a bunch of the judges from getting there, made it so some of their equipment and shit didn't get there. And so the GP didn't start – or started, like, 2 hours late. So the plan was we were supposed to go on at 11. And we're – you know, the party started at 8. And we were going to go on at 11. Well, here it's like, you know, it's 8:30, 9 o'clock, something like that. And there's nobody at the fucking – at the party because, you know, hey, Marcel, there's Scott. There's a couple other fucking random magic people, a couple friends and stuff. And that's it. And we're like, wow, this sucks. But come to find out, that's why. Everybody's still fucking playing magic. And – but then we fucking moved all the shit out of the way, decided, you know, like got our stuff set up. So it was ready to go. And then I think what we had fucking Jerome's amp took a shit on him and we had to fucking fight with that and finally get it working. And then Marcel and I took it upon ourselves to say, hey, you know what? Fuck this. Let's go down to the fucking, cause it was like the tournament site's only fucking like two blocks up the street. You can see see people in the lobby of the convention center from the front door of the bar. So we're just like, all right, fuck it. We're going to go up there. We're going to start kicking fucking tables in, and we're going to fucking make people come to this party. We roll up there, and fucking – it's like it's round 9. And I was like, what time was it, Marcel? Like, it was late as fuck.
Yeah, it was like 11. Was it 11 almost? Or it was close to 11. Yeah, it was past 11 because I remember we're like, you know, the party already started. We're going to start at 11:30. Band's going to play. You know, we try to get everybody to get down there. And it was kind of like, you know, trying to pull teeth.
Yeah, because everybody was – all the vendors, of course, are shutting down and shit. But, like, all these people are still fucking playing. The big fucking clock on the wall is still got, like, fucking 20 minutes on it. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And everybody that I talked to, though, that I think that was half the problem is there were flyers all over the place. We had talked about it. You know, we had got the word out there. But, you know, this thing says the after party's from fucking 8 to, you know, 8 to 2 in the morning or whatever, and that we were going on at fucking 11, and you got all these people that don't know what the deal is, and they're still watching their friends play or they're still in the event, and so they're like, everybody I talked to, like half of them, they're just like, oh shit, is this still going on? And we're like, yeah, I'm playing, and I haven't even fucking played. Yeah.
I'm the talent.
I'm here coming to fucking pick you motherfuckers up and bring you back. And so we ran around, talked to a few people. Fucking, I got my cool picture with Sal, who fucking cracks me up. That guy, when I walked up to him, I'm just all, what's up, Sal? How's it going? I met him briefly at GP Vegas. And so I walked up. I was like, oh, shit, Sal, what's going on? And said hi to him. And he's just kind of like, hey, what's up, buddy? How's it going? I was like,
you don't know who I am.
I was all, hey, man, no, this is the best part. Is it like, I'll remember this forever. The dude scares me. But I was just all, I figured, you know, maybe he must not remember me. I was just all, hey, man. I was all, hey, I'm Kevin Metal. I kind of have a podcast for you now. Didn't even look up. He's all, I know who you are. And keeps doing what he's doing. And I'm just all, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Sweet. So he finally, like, it's kind of awkward. So he's all, so did you play in the GP? I was like, nah, man, we just got into town. Me and my band, we're playing the little after party down the street. And, you know, you should cruise down if you get a chance. And he's just all, oh, you guys are doing after parties now, huh? Wonder where you got that idea from. All right, fair enough. You know, I was all, hey, dude, Scotty's shit's always successful. He has a blast. So we're like, fuck it. You know, we had fun in Vegas. And so we're like, hey, let's do this. He's like, yeah, I'm tired of shit. I'm not coming down there. Fair enough, bud. All right, well, thanks. Appreciate it. Later. And I walk away, like, with my tail between my legs.
I'm yeah. Like, Kevin, was like, Kevin was like, I don't want to see. We're like, you can see, take a picture of Sal. I don't want to see Sal, man. He looked like he was going to shoot me or something.
Like, I don't think we should go back over and talk. Marcel's all, fuck that. Sal's here. We got to get a picture with you and Sal together. And I was like, I don't think he likes me, dude.
I'm like, fuck that. Anyway. We're going to go. So we go over there. We got the camcorder. We got, you know, Jason, JR, Time Elemental. He had the camcorder behind the whole time. So we go up to Sal, you know, like, hey, we got Kevin here. You know, he wanted to take a picture and they're chatting. And he's, then he looked and he seen the camera on the side. He just,
yeah.
You know how that glance. He's like, don't take a picture.
Yeah, he's all, don't film me. He's all, don't fucking film me.
And we're like, are you playing around? Is this, you know, is this a little attitude? No, he was serious. He's like, don't fucking film me.
We're like, oh. So Marcel, see, I told you that motherfucker doesn't like me. And then he like looks back up. He's all, what, you want a fucking picture or something? And I'm all, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I even was cautious. Like, I was walking back around the table to go take a picture with him. And I was like, hey, man, I'm going to walk around. I mean, he's got a wad of money in his hands. The dude looks like he's going to kill me and bury me in the fucking desert. And I was just all, man, I'm going to walk back around there. I don't want to fucking, you know, I don't want to freak you out or nothing. He's like, no, that's cool. As soon as I walk around behind the fucking the table and walk up to him, dude, like, night and day difference. He grabs me. He's just all, yeah, I'm going to fuck him. Check this out. And starts fucking, like, hugging up against my leg, throws his arm around me, and having a blast. All of a sudden, everything was fucking fine. And if you've seen the picture, yeah, it's fucking me and him having a good time, flipping off the fucking camera. And so then I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I got out alive. And I started walking. I'm all right on. Thanks, Sally. So where the fuck are you going? I want to see that picture. And brings me back over. I show him the picture, and he's just all, oh, man, that shit's awesome. He's all, well, yeah. He's all, send that shit. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll, you know, post it on fucking Twitter and shit. Like, all right, fair enough. I was like, guy at first. And it turns out, I think the dude's personality is just like that. He's just a fucking gruff son of a bitch, but he's like the coolest dude ever. But you just have to get past, being afraid of him first.
Yeah. He's like a giant grizzly bear.
And then we ran into Conley and talked to Conley for a little bit. And he's, you know, all right, yeah, dude, I'm going to come down. I'm going to come hang out. I can't stay too long because, you know, I got to fucking play tomorrow. Fucking X1, check me out. And then the downfall happened.
The downfall.
Then we go heading back down to the venue. And then we went on stage and did our thing and rocked and rolled and had a good time. And I came to this realization that I need to stop wearing shoes on stage because I have no balance at all when I have my shoes on. Going around doing dumb shit while I'm fucking playing, you know, thrashing around and doing this and doing that. But I always, like at practice, I always have my shoes off because we've got fucking nice plushy carpet and rugs and shit in our jam room. And so I'm used to doing this barefoot. Then I have shoes on. I start doing the same thing and I'm drunk. So I start noticing that I'm like almost tripping like every time I move. But
you guys are actually pretty good. Like, you know, I'm not a heavy metal person. There's a few people that weren't heavy metal people, you know, Conley included, but they're like, you know, you guys got stage presence. There's definitely music going on. There's melodic. There's some cool beats going on. You guys had skills. Like, you guys were definitely, you know, putting it down, Barstool Saints. And, and you know, like, so you guys rocked, really. We had
That's actually funny. On the way back, Jerome said that, like, He's just like, the best part for me was after all the bullshit of the trip and all this crap that we went through and all this and that and the other thing. He's all, we get done. We had a fairly good show, even though everybody, most of the people were fucking just sitting down looking at their magic cards. And like, then afterward, I'm talking to a group of people and they're just all, man, you guys really, I mean, like, you guys really seem to know what you're doing up there. Like, I don't listen to metal at all, but you know, you guys sure seem to, you know, be good at what you do. And like, and Jerome's just like, are you fucking kidding me? And like, as he's telling the story, he just looks at me. He's just all, man, are you fucking kidding me? He's all, none of these kids even listen to this kind of music. I'm all, guess what? I had a fucking blast. And now the, also like this show, you know, obviously was like, as far as my band's concerned, was entirely my thing. Like my idea, I was hooking up with you guys to try to get up there. But every time we have a bad show, we blame it on our manager, Pat. And so as the band, the whole way back is complaining, they're just all, you know, it's like every 20 minutes, all, you know what else sucked about this weekend? And they'd fucking spout something off, and I'm just all, yeah, and I am, for one, am going to be hitting Pat up tonight and just reaming his ass for this fucking terrible show.
Yeah, because we had people come in, but the people were there. Like, there was a group of 8 girls that came in at one point. And they were definitely magic ladies, and then all of a sudden just disappeared, and they never came back.
I think they got scared away.
Well, yeah, there was a chaos draft, so we had the chaos draft going on,
right?
Which was a great idea that Kevy came up with right before. So
the whole chaos, and I had something to do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, so I mean, there's a group of guys. I mean, I appreciate that they came out to the event, but they were just there for the chaos draft, and they were just kind of douchey. You know, I just really wasn't feeling it. Like, when they came in, they're like, oh, where's the chaos draft going? You know, we need to get some chaos. That's what we're here for. And I was like, a band's going to play in a little bit. They didn't even care. And they're like, where's the attack?
Now, from my band's point of view, they don't know much about this community, just what I tell them. And I'm just like, yeah, dude, we've got fucking, we my podcast, we got a bunch of fans, shit like that. We go out, we're going to go play this fucking show, should be a good time. But while we're playing, we're used to playing in front of people that are either sitting at a bar getting hammered or up in front of our fucking faces rocking out listening to the music. Now, my band is fucking jamming out, looking across the fucking room, and there's dudes over there still sitting in their fucking, like, spots from their drafts. Pod,
yeah.
Just cards out in front of them and shit. I think that's why my band didn't have as much of a good time as me.
I could totally understand, like, the crowd, like, there was 3 people that got up, and one dude was shaking his hair or whatever, but that's about it. And you know, I was trying to get people to get in and support the band, but it wasn't there. But yeah,
it was cool though. Like, as much as, like, from my side of things, being a magic player and being involved involved in this community, and then, you know, doing what we do with the rock and roll shit. Like, I mean, it's 2 totally different fucking areas of life. And the fact that we had, you know, that all those people show up and the support we got. Fuck, dude, we sold like 15 CDs that night, I think. Like,
That's pretty good.
We sold, a bunch of albums. And, you know, even if it was just because I was all, God damn it, buy our shit. We need gas money for the way home. Over there. But, like, there was support there. Like, a lot of people came up and said, like, exactly that kind of shit. Like, you know, hey, I don't normally listen to this type of music, but you guys were really good. You know, your energy, the stuff that you guys got going on, I could listen to it. It wasn't like, you know, oh, this hurts my ears, I want to leave. You guys are good at what you do. It's not what I'm into. But, like, we got, from my point of view, I thought we got a really good response for a bunch of people that don't listen to our shit.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. The party wasn't a fucking blowout. It just wasn't what, it wasn't no, it wasn't a party to write home about.
It wasn't. Scotty Mac party.
Yeah, it wasn't a Scotty Mac party, but you know, maybe the GP would end 2 hours early. Maybe it would have been different. And also on the flyers, the sign and blow flyers that he passed out, there was no time on there. So I heard people actually did an 02 and actually dropped and went to there. And there's no party going on, so that kind of...
Oh, shit. They thought they were fucking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They're like, well, shit. I dropped. I guess I'll just go to the party. And then they show up at the sports bar down the street, and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
But a bunch of dudes watching football, getting drunk, and they're like, I should probably leave before I get my ass whooped.
Well, so there was factors, but people that showed up, and they had a great time, and we're glad that they did show up. Like,
not every venue and not every GP is going to be like –
Oh, no.
You know, set up to be perfect. I mean, I'm sure there'll be another one where, you know, maybe it's better time. I mean, the fact that it started 2 hours late probably killed a lot of people's energy to cut out early, so.
Yeah, it was a combination of factors, but, you know, I had a great time. And
oh, dude, we had a fucking blast. Now, this is the best part is, like, you know, we got past the fact that, like, oh, there's not as many people here as we'd like and yada, yada, yada. And then it was like, well, fuck it. We're going to get wrecked anyway. Like, you know, we fucking, like, just getting trashed, playing fucking music, got done playing music, running around talking to people, having a good old fucking time, and just drinking. And we ended up, I remember at one point, because fucking Marcel's got the video camera running the whole time, which at some point we'll have this video little compilation documentary all fucking put together, and it's going to be awesome. You guys,
except for the performance. Somehow I had the audio recording just perfect, and the performance, I forgot to do my job. You know, what I do as a profession and check the audio.
It's because you were drinking with me. Well, one thing I will have to say, though, is, like, you know, our manager, Pat, has a similar, like, setup with his, like, camera and the external microphone and shit like that. And it is fucking brutally hard to get especially when we're doing the sound and we don't have a sound guy doing it. And you're not plugged into the mixer and all that shit for the microphone. Yeah. To get that sound, like, for you to be able to stick that microphone somewhere in that room that's not going to sound like shit, it's so hard to do and almost impossible. So, like, yeah, I guess, like, all the cool stuff on, you know, all the interviews with all the fucking, you know, partygoers and SVU members and shit like that is fucking intact. And then there's video of us playing, but the sound sounds like garbage. So we'll still work that out. We'll get it handled.
All right, well, I'm sure the people that came here for Magic are like, shut the fuck up, man.
Hey,
Oakland, man.
Well, I got one more point I want to make.
All right.
This is in regards to Conley, you know, because when I went to I was passing out tokens. You know, I had a bunch of the Brainstorm Brewery tokens, and I was getting them out for free. And, you know, going around the GP room, you know, I gave them out to several hundred people. I had a bunch of them. And some people were receptive. A lot of people, you know, I mean, a lot of people were receptive. Some people didn't want to deal with it. But one thing that I noticed is anyone that was a pro that I could recognize, they looked at them like they were AIDS. Like, they didn't even want to touch them.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
like
very
I was trying to hurt him, and I kind of got a little bit offended, and it's like, you know, I talked to Reed Duke and whatever, and you know, I got this impression about pros, like, yeah, they're really, you know, they feel they're highly, you know, they think so highly of themselves, like, you know, they think they're so cool, like, if they only really knew, like, you know. Like, you know, I'm not trying to kiss their ass. Like, you know,
trying to give you some shit.
Yeah, you're a king of the nerds. That's
yeah.
You're still a nerd, just so you know.
Yeah.
But then with Conley, like, all right, so I'm sitting there talking with Conley, like, let's go to the bar. So I was like, yeah. So I was like, you know, Conley, I was like, oh, I got you a drink. You know, I got you a drink. He's like, no. He's like, I got a tab. I got you, Marcel. I was like, no, Conley, it's you. Come on, I got you. He's like, Marcel, no, really, I got you. And then I was like, you know, I was kind of like, I'll put it. But then all of a sudden, someone else from the crowd said, hey, Conley, take a shot with me. So he took one shot. Then
and
he
that
took
was
two
it.
Shots.
Yeah.
And then three shots. And then four shots with another person. And then I kind of recognized, I was like, oh, you know, he just wanted to be treated like, you know, a human being, you know, and he gets put on this pedestal by these magic people, and people are really trulies, you know. So, like, that's why, you know, sometimes these pros act the way they do, because people really go there, and, you know,
oh,
someone
dude,
coming
it's
up
bad.
To you.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
It's real bad. I saw that, like, you know, like, Conley, like, I look up to that dude. Dude's a fucking, you know, pro magic player, and he's a fucking cool-ass dude. I'm not the type of person that's going to fucking drool over somebody like that. So I can just approach him as an adult and be like, what's up, man? But, like, he was super fucking cool and he was super fucking polite. But I saw a lot of guys that were just, like, hovering around him, just waiting for the chance to, like, jump into conversation a little bit and be able to be like, ah, I was talking to Conley Woods that one time. You know, and it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get starstruck like the industry that I'm in. You know, I'll
be no.
on stage and I'll walk by people and, you know, it just put a different perspective. I've never seen it through that lens, so it gave
yeah,
me a
yeah.
laugh.
No, I agree. I mean, I've been around some crazy shit, and I've never been Star Trek by anyone I've seen. And funny enough, if you know.
Well, I was once, but it was when I met Maddie Studios in Vegas.
Yeah, that's true. actually, I was a little starstruck when Kevy showed up there. I was like, holy shit. Oh, no, it was, no, Kevy, we're lying. There was one person that we were both starstruck by.
Oh, Rich?
Yeah. I didn't think you'd get it. MTG Rich was pretty, that guy
Where's
is.
Where's the Rich?
That was fun. That was good times. Yeah, but I mean, hey, he sounds like he's a really cool guy. I wish, I mean, me, Ryan Durf in Vegas had a chance to share a cab with him, but we fucked that up. So we're like, no Kelly, go.
He's also like, he's absolutely 100% down to come on the show. He said we got to fucking nail down a schedule, or, you know, he is busy as shit. So, but he's absolutely down to come on the show and come fucking hang out and party with us. So we will have that coming in the near future.
Sweet. Now let's get on to some cool shit, because we've had the Theros World Building, it's the Planeswalker's Guide to Theros Part 2 that got dropped. I think Part 1 we talked about last week, but we got Part 2.
Wait. You want to talk about magic? This is heavy.
Yeah, what?
Wait, what's going on?
What kind of podcast is this? Dude, I still got kidnapped. I fucking, there's all sorts of other shit to talk about.
Hold on, let's move on. Because Maddie's actually been quiet for like the past
30
minutes. I
know, Maddie has let us both interrupt him this whole time. No, I'm done with fucking GP. Right, yeah.
Maybe for the after party show.
Hey, man, I mean, yeah. You gotta, I was reading the manual on how to treat someone with an interruption problem, and it's like, you gotta let them speak. No,
Maddie's my sponsor.
Yeah, that's right, I'm your sponsor. I have your badge waiting day one. the Planeswalker's Guide came out today, I think it was, or yesterday, or whatever, Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday. Looks insane. I don't know, Kevy or Marcel, if you had a chance to take a look at it, but, take a browse through some of this stuff. The art is, like, off the chain. Like, this stuff looks bonkers good. So, there's some stuff in here that just, it sounds like this is going to be really good. Really good stuff. The art looks just unreal. Unreal stuff. But we're going to talk real quick, because there's a couple of things that, you know, we've been looking into here. We've gotten, I believe, all five mechanics spoiled. So we've got Bestow. We've got the God, whatever that is. You've got this monstrosity mechanic, the heroic mechanic. And then you have, like, this reward mechanic. What is it called?
I haven't seen that one. Devotion,
right. So,
Chroma 2.0.
Exactly. Now, of all the mechanics, I mean, we're going to talk right away, because last week, while we were on the cast, the Bident of Thassa, that legendary equipment artifact, got expelled, which is, in our opinion, we just think it sucks ass, and it does.
I actually thought it was a fake, because I've always heard that, you know, Maro wanted to have a distinction between artifacts and enchantments, because they are so close to each other in the way that they play out.
I guess this is the enchantment block, so we're bending the rules. But for 4 mana and a legendary equipment, I don't know, it just sucks. Like, I don't see what the point of it. Yeah,
they had an enchantment. I forgot the name of it, but they had an enchantment that you cast for four that does the same thing, and that was barely played. And the ability to make your opponent creatures attack is good, but for blue, like, you're not going to have favorable blocks. Unless you're doing blue-green and you could create favorable blocks.
Maybe.
If you got favorable blocks, you could wipe out their board. Like,
yeah, but I'm going to spend 4 mana, the next round I'm going to spend 2. Like, it's not in the curve. I just think it's like Goblin Diplomats. There's a red card, and it costs you almost nothing to do. So, but anyway.
Kind of fights against each other, because if you think about it, like, if this card's good, what's good is when you have a Metris, you get massive card draw. So that means you either have tokens or you got flyers, which are not going to be creatures. Those are going to be the creatures that's been capitalized most from this. But then those creatures aren't going to fight well on a block. So the second ability goes against how the first ability. So there's like an anti-synergy in this card built in. So, you know, yeah, I'm not a big fan of this.
Yeah, I mean, if it tapped to make all your creatures unblockable, that would make a lot more sense to me. But whatever. Yeah. The card I want to talk about is Thassa, because the first god got spoiled, which, you know, seeing the Bident, I was very disappointed. I'm like, oh man, these gods are going to be horrible if that's one of their equipments. But no. We got Thassa, the God of Sea, spoiled. This card is fucking bonkers. Now listen to this. It's only 3 mana. It's 2 and a blue. So it's dirt cheap. It's a legendary enchantment god. So we do have enchantment creatures. I was correct. It is indestructible. And this is the little word that people don't read on Twitter. I've been hearing. They're just like, oh, wow, look what it does. But they're forgetting this. It's an indestructible enchantment creature. And it says, as long as you have devotion to blue, or as long as your devotion to blue is less than 5, Thassa is not a creature. And devotion is a mechanic that states for every blue symbol in the permanence you control, if it's at 5, she turns into a creature. She's a 5/5. If she doesn't, or if you don't have that many, it turns back into an enchantment. And the enchantment
says... before that, like, just to clear up the mechanic, the devotion mechanic, I guess I didn't notice this till now, but it's like the blue mana symbol's on the cards you control. So, like, that's not just in their converted mana cost, is it?
Yes.
It is just in the
converted mana cost.
Well, yeah, Thassa's one. Thassa basically has one blue. So whatever's in their card casting. So Thassa. So if you had, like, say, the Tidebinder Mage, which is the Merfolk with two blue.
There's two more.
You have two. Thassa gives you 3, and then you had another Tidebinder on.
What I was getting at is just because, like, the way it's worded, though, it says each blue mana symbol.
No.
In the mana cost. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering if you had something that had, like, ability wise and shit, like in the fucking ability text and shit like that, if those counted too. But
No. But wait, what's really good is, okay, so this is, I haven't gotten to finish the card. So
yeah,
it also.
Sorry.
Okay.
What do I do in this cast?
Interrupt you. There you go. At the beginning of your upkeep, scry 1. So that's what the enchantment part does. And it also has for 1 and a blue, target creature you control can't be blocked. So just for 3 men, if you think about it, if this was an enchantment that let me scry every turn, that's value. The fact that it has another ability that I can just make some of my creatures unblockable already sounds insane. So for 3 mana, just as an enchantment that's indestructible, that sounds really good. It sounds like it's recurring value every turn. It's almost like a mini Planeswalker.
But it's not really affecting the board. I mean, it's not.
That's like saying, Jace Bellerin didn't affect the board, but he was a continuous source of card advantage.
There's no card advantage with Scry, but
you're getting to see what it is. So if there's some ability to filter, it's still for the fact that it's a 3-mana enchantment, and, you know.
Well, then I guess when you add the Bident to it and you have the fucking
I don't think the Bident means shit, but but maybe, I guess.
You could see what's there. You can, like, you can scry the shit, and, like, it, you know, if you got both of them, you can.
Here's the thing where the card's bonkers. Motika pointed out that you can Aether Vial Thassa in. So that's nuts. So a 5/5 indestructible creature can just be, boom, dropped on the board. Now, of course, if you don't have devotion, she's just an enchantment. But in Modern, in Legacy, you know, you're playing Merfolk. There's no way this card is not in that deck. Like, that sounds like this is just going to be a turn 3 5/5 indestructible smash and face. Like, it sounds really good. So what I'm saying is, this is a really good blue card. I think this is going to see absolute standard play. I'm just excited that if this is the power level of the gods, I'm happy now. Like, this is what I want to see. I want to see the rest of the god cycle. This is really interesting. Now,
you know what I want to see? I want to see. We need to talk to Mythic Spoiler about ordering these, like, ordering the cards in order of not how everybody else wants to see them, but spoilers that we've already talked about and spoilers that we haven't.
A heavy meta filter button?
Meta filter, and it'll just, like, be like, oh, you guys already talked about these ones. But then maybe be like, you guys kind of skipped over this one and throw it back in again in the list.
So we could do that. We'll hook him up, man. No problem. Shout-outs for a whole month. But
this will be exciting. I mean, the power level on this is pretty nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe we might see 2 of them that may be constructed playable, because we don't want to have another cycle of Titans again. And I think they're going to work extremely hard to make that happen.
I'm going to make the call that all 5 are going to be powerful enough to see play. They're the fucking gods. Like, I'm really sure that they're going to push these. Now, here's the thing to think about. Because me and Marcel, like, I guess we're the unofficial MTGO finance kind of guys that talk about it and, like, give you tips. And fair it is, too. But what we're thinking is, this devotion mechanic, because it's rewarding you for playing very heavily colored cards, Boros Reckoner
is nuts. He's already a sick card for three mana. He's full three, full red, full white. If we get a good red or white god that is like three mana that can turn into something powerful in turn three or four, and you're playing, you know, heavy white or heavy red, Boros Reckoner just seems like a fit. So that's six tickets right now. I'd be watching that card. I'm not saying it's going to spike. I'm just saying watch it.
There's some other that's a good card, but there's some other good ones too.
Well, the other one we were looking at is the Scourge Dragon, the the mythic cost dragon for M14, Scourge of Valcroth or whatever the fuck that thing is that no one plays. But it's 2 and 4 and 3 red, so it's only 5 mana, and it's a 5 mana dragon, so it's kind of vanilla, but it does deal damage for every other dragon that enters or something like that. So it's not super powerful, but maybe one of the gods makes dragons. Fuck, who knows? That would be insane.
I'm gonna say it's the white one.
Specter is another good one. I believe it was Corbin or Jason had as their pick of the week because, you know, it's playable in block right now. In block, that's being played, and that fulfills three right there. You know, for three mana,
yep.
You could do either black or you could do blue. And also, you got Rebel Belt Rider, which I don't know if that's going to be one that's just loose of a card.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, it just needs the support. That's the thing. Like, it could be. I don't know. I played it in draft. It was awesome in draft. Good card, but.
And there's Dark Prophecy in M14 also. That's like the triple black.
Yeah.
Which can work pretty well with the black card that was spoiled.
Yeah. So the Abhorrent Overlord is a demon. He's 7 mana, so I don't know. Maybe there's some ramp to get him in there. But what's amazing is when he hits play, you put a number of 1/1 black harpy creatures with flying onto play for your devotion to black. So if you're playing Dark Prophecy, him and some other stuff, he may come in with like a freaking army of 7 or 8 flying 1/1s. Like, that's very powerful. That's almost game ending. So,
yeah, it's pretty sick. And then, you know, I mean, you do have to sacrifice a creature at the beginning of your upkeep.
Dark Prophecy
plays right into Dark Prophecy.
I mean, you could see they're trying to force the mono black control, or they're letting you discover mono black control. I think with this set for sure, it's going to be a thing. But
you got Desecration Demon, and then you got the Shadow. That was the Shadowborn Demons, and the one that just came out. The 5-mana one, that one's pretty sick.
What's that one called?
What do you think of that Shadowborn Demon? Because it is 3.5 ticks right now. It's 5 mana. It kills a guy when it hits play, so it's got the Necrotal effect. But I don't know, man. For financial, it's 3.5 ticks. It seems like it's still too high.
I wouldn't put a lot of money in it. Right now, I think you're better just putting your money in a lot of these cards that are just fucking underappreciated and Return to Ravnica. There's so many cards. Like, I just came up on some tickets because I sold my rock deck.
Yeah.
And then I finally bought Archangel of Thune, even though I didn't want to. I got it for 14.
Yep, so did I. It's going, dude. That card is 16 tickets. Just to quickly jump in and talk about the Thrune. So I'm playing the green-white life gain deck right now, and I'm tweaking it and building it. That deck is extremely powerful. It makes tokens. It makes life. It's nuts. It's Ooze, Voice, Archangel of Thrune. What the fuck else is in there? Some of the token makers and shit. It's still being worked on, but it ramps into creatures very quickly. It's very powerful, and Archangel of Thrune is definitely a fucking real card. That is a real card. It could absolutely, if it sees the right deck, be 20 tickets. So that's something
that I've been seeing it all over the fucking place. Like, I finally, for the last like couple days, I've been back on Modo again and actually playing a bunch of matches and shit. You know, playing some with some friends and shit. I hit up Marcel fucking last night for a minute, but like, just playing a lot of random, like, tournament practice room and stuff like that, and I'm seeing that fucking angel everywhere. Huh. And in all sorts of different decks, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, actually, I haven't seen it yet but I haven't played that much. And I'm just kind of surprised that, you know, at 16 ticks, the next one is the Hydra, Colonia Hydra, and that's at 9. So you're talking about a 6-tick difference, which is like 66% from the next most expensive card. I don't know if it's that good, but, you know, I had to buy in at 14 just because I wasn't going to take the chance of it shooting up to, you know, 20 plus and being like, you know, a thunder monster. Okay, yeah, does not happen. Like, I, you know, like right now I sold my Voice of Resurgences.
Wow, you did.
When I first got them, I got them like, you know, 28.
At 30. So did I. Yeah.
And then I sold them at 33 because I played some decks. I was like, hey, this card's okay, but it's all right. And I think 33, it might drop a little bit lower. So I might as well sell them now, get my money, and I'll buy back in like around 25 or something. Nope, it just kept going up. And I don't want to buy in at 40. Like I really
No. And you know what, though? Mero spoiled on the blog that it looks like Pyroclasm is coming back. And if that gets reprinted.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be such a happy motherfucker.
Well, I won't be because that's going to decimate all my green-white decks. So I would.
I love that. Like, oh, God, I love that card.
As soon as I see that officially spoiled, I'm going to sell my voices then because they'll drop and I'll buy back in if I need to because that card will decimate early green-white strategies to the point where it's unplayable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to spend 40. Yeah.
No. Okay. And now, another card that you should be watching is Obstacle Ghost Council. Okay, 2.5 weeks ago, this card was 8 tickets. It was below 8 tickets. It was as cheap as 6 tickets. It is now 13, and it is going up. So it is double white, double black. It's also, we all know how good that card is, so I'm wondering, the Devotion, this card fits into that Devotion clause. Watch it. It's something to watch. I think that card is going to do something. Very interesting, yeah.
Sphinx's Revelation is almost hitting 40. Huh, it's finally climbing. It's been fluctuating up and down, up and down, up and down. A lot of the cards have.
It's like, just too good. Like, that card's not... That's going to stay up there above 30 till Standard rotates. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Blue-white players, man.
I'm so sick of that card. Like, I want it to just die, and then I realize, like, oh, man, it's not even going to die anytime soon.
No, it's got a whole... you got a whole year left.
Yeah, I know.
And so again, I remember you were recommending people to buy their Shocklands, and Shocklands look like they're settling up at about 5. They're no longer at the $3 price they were. So
yeah, Shocklands are actually climbing very quickly. They've almost doubled in less than 4 weeks. So we've been telling you there was a bottom. We told you for a good month that you had a chance. I hope you got in because I don't know, man. Some of them are gonna probably hit 10, just like last time. That's what's gonna happen. Come the second set of Theros, but, you know, if you don't have them, get in if you want to play, but very soon they're going to be 8 or 9 tickets, and I don't suggest getting in at that point.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if you want to play Modern, I do suggest it. Like, I cannot stress to anybody that if you want to play Moto during the next year, I cannot stress any further. Take whatever loan you need to take. It's like $100 or $200 to get the Shocklands. Buy the fucking Shocklands because you're just going to kick yourself in the ass not having them. Like, this is just money that's going to appreciate. Even if you sell off half of them and just pay for the other half and play with the other half, you're going to make your money back. So, you know.
Yep.
You
know. Thank God that's one thing I won't, like, even when I get drunk and stupid and start selling cards because I need other cards or whatever the case may be, that's one thing I just won't touch is my land. And, like, thank God. Hey, that's the one thing that pulls me back out of the fucking, out of the depths. I'm just all right, well, I don't really want to get rid of this, but I'm going to have to get rid of this because I need this card and I need tickets and I'm not going to spend any money, so I'm going to do this. And then it's like as soon as I get to my lands, I'm all, knock it off. No. Stop it.
Yeah, good. That's the best.
Never sell your lands. I mean,
no.
That's just...
There's no fucking reason to. Like, yeah, unless you've just got a massive surplus and they spike for some reason, then fuck that. Like,
maybe. Yeah, I mean, never sell your playset. Yeah, that's 100% right. I mean, look at, like, the fact that Modern Masters, which is extremely surprising that I mean, maybe they didn't print enough, I don't know, but it's just going up. Paper, online, all of it. It's just going up. So, there's more people playing MTGO. That is, they won't ever release the numbers. I've requested many times, but Ryan Spain and Worth just like, look, man, we can't give that out. They don't want us to know. I thought they would. You know, it's a good publicity thing to say. It's
just us. There's like 45 of us, and the rest of them are just bots that are on the fuck on Moto to look like there's stuff going on.
Maybe I highly doubt. I mean, just buy the stuff that are staples. You know, listen, pay attention. When you know you see that there's a drop, you got to get in. I guarantee you, next year January hits, when Modern season is in full swing online, Shocklands are going to go up. It's all that shit's going to be retarded. Liliana the Veil is going to hit 70 tickets again. 100% agreed, man. That card's going to rotate. It may drop a little bit. I'm curious to hear what Marcel thinks, like, if that card will drop.
I sold my set.
Oh, wow, you did? I didn't. Yeah. I had to keep it. I'm scared. I just don't think it's going to drop as what people
it's
think.
It's going to drop at least a 30 post, a minimum 30. It's not going to stay at 50. And I
really?
Right now, if it, yeah. The reason it's holding this is because it's seeing play in standard, it's seeing play in modern, it's seeing play in legacy. So right. is the price is not because of its modern price. That's definitely not the case, you know. That's a big part of it. It's not as heavily played as say Singles Revelation, but that's part of it. But it's going to rotate. People are going to sell the cards. They're still playing the cards. You know, some people are going to play the cards until rotation. And especially with green, black, you know, Golgari Control, the Rock. You know, that deck is popular right now. It's like 40% of the metagame. So people still have their copies, and they got 3 copies of Liliana in there. You know, that's what it is. 52, that's going to hold, you know, that may hold closer till rotation. Like, you might be able to sell out. I sold out now because I figured it's not going to get any higher. I've seen it fluctuate between 50 and 52 for like about a week.
What were they buying at? About 45, 48?
I sold it, yeah, 40. I think I sold it for 46.
That's not bad. I think, like, if you look at it, like, it's selling for 52, you'll be able to buy in below what you sold for. So I agree. Like, I think it might hit 40. I just really don't think it's going to drop too much below 35. And if it does, I'll buy one. Like, I'll buy more. Cause that's
no
going to go on.
It's no Jace.
Oh, so, wow.
That's I really like.
Wow.
If you sell now, you're going to get your money out of it. You're going to get your money out of it now. You're not going to, like, if you got a play set and you sell now, it drops 30 to 30, you just made $60. You buy back in the card. If you're not playing the card right now in any decks, and specifically if you're not playing it in Jund and Rock, and then you're not doing it. And if you got those decks, you should just sell the cards unless you're really playing them, because those cards are going to rotate. Most of the cards for those decks are going to rotate. And if you're not playing the deck and you're not having a lot of fun with it, why hold on to the card just to have the card? Like, you know, that's a problem I have with myself, and I lose a lot of money in my collection.
Well, because we're collectors. That's the thing. Like, we're completists. I don't like to not have it. But, I mean, like, in Modern, I have, like, a black deck. Like, I don't want to sell my Lilies. Like, I really don't want to lose out. So, I don't know. I'm going to hold. Maybe I'll sell a couple. I'll keep two. Sell two. See what happens. But
okay. Yeah, I mean,
I'll hedge it.
How about this? We'll check back in, and we'll see what happens a month post-rotation or 2 weeks post-rotation when I buy back Lilies.
We'll discuss that. you are better at.
So I bought my Lilies for $12 fucking dollars.
Oh my god! If it's ever $12, I'll sink cash into that, because I will get my cash out, man, for sure. Now here's the thing that a lot of people want us to talk about is, like, Marcel, what is your thoughts on from the Vault 20 online?
And that's exactly what I was just going to ask. I was waiting for you idiots to shut up.
I bought my playset of them, and I got charged for them, and I just looked at my collection. They're not there, so I'm going to have to send a wizard letter to Wizards.
Yeah. Ooh.
I will figure that out. I'm going to get my play thing. Are they sold out yet? No, they're still in the store, right?
No, they're still there. No, I asked Worth. I'm like, could you at least tweet when they will be discontinuing, or give us, like, an idea, like, did 50% of them sell? He's like, nope. So there's going to be no warning, essentially.
No warning whatsoever.
But I would buy some.
I would buy...
Yeah. Like, if you had the money,
I bought my playset, man.
I would
buy 10 for a rainy day. And just
$10? That's crazy. I bought my playset, man.
Now, let me say, I didn't have the money for this at all.
But you, like, did it anyways.
This kind of sucks. It's not that bad, I don't think.
Okay.
This is maybe one of those fucking, you guys are going to laugh, Kevin Metal financial fucking moves. But it's like, I just finished telling you guys about how fucking broke I am because of the gas on the way to fucking Oakland and back. So, like, I have no money to spend on fucking cards, but I was just like, I can't miss out on this, because my personal feeling is this shit is going to be limited to a certain number, and it's going to disappear, and then they're going to shoot the fuck up.
Yeah.
And so my thought is, like, I cannot not do this. Then I also got a message from my LGS that said, you know, like a voicemail that said, hey, got bad news. Everybody that pre-ordered their From the Vault 20s came in and picked them up. So, sorry, you don't get one. I'm just like, motherfucker. And I was all pissed off about that. I was just like, and Daniel, of course, sends me pictures of fucking his. He's all, look at, there's Jace. Oh, there's Tangelwire. Motherfucker. And so I was just like, while I'm sitting in my fucking garage, fucking drowning my sorrows in a bottle of vodka and fucking being broke, I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm buying one of these. And then I go to buy one, and I was just like, oh, wait, I don't have any fucking money. So I had to move some cards around. I had to sell my fucking Reckoners.
Oh, no, dude. That's the one we're telling you to buy.
I had three Reckoners, and I sold those and didn't get me much. But I'm hoping this fucking pays off. Hey,
Kevy, next time you want to sell cars, please contact me first.
Yeah, please.
No shit. I need to. So I dumped my fucking Reckoners and a Bob to get.
Can I just say, if you don't talk to me, Fair, or Marcel, when you want to sell cards, you're an idiot.
Don't sell cards. And you guys know this better than anybody. When I am going to make this decision, you're asleep because it's fucking like
3 in the morning.
1 o'clock my time. I've been drinking. And so you're like, maybe if I just held out for another hour, you'd be getting up for work.
Yeah, Maddie, I'm like, about to sell this. No, don't fucking do that.
I'm going to do this. No, wait! You're going to be fucking, getting your coffee. You could make a killing off me if we just time this.
Yep. Yep. No, see, I would buy them and just hold them and sell them back to you for the price that you bought after you figured out that you fucked up by selling.
Yes. That's a fucking homie right there. Like, he's just got a fucking separate spot that he's got a spreadsheet. He's all, this is all the shit Kevy sold me. This is how much he sold it for, and this is what time in the morning he sold it to me. when I just throw the word out on Twitter because I forgot, I'm all, man, I was going to go play my fucking Bant deck, and I don't have Geist anymore. I don't know where they went.
And I sold them for $12, and now they're fucking $45.
Oh, yeah, and then Papa be all, hey, idiot, you sold them to me. You were drinking, and this is how much you sold them for. Do you want them back? I'll sell them back to you.
Well, you know, it's funny. Geist is actually an interesting card. 2 weeks ago when I said I sold all mine, and they were selling – well, they were at 27 tickets. It dropped all the way to under 20. Now it bounced up to 22.
Yeah, that pain down.
Yeah, that card though, that card right there is one I'm going to be aggressively picking up when it hits a bottom.
Once it's rotation, I'm going to buy my playset and probably two more. I can't spend a whole lot of money on stuff. Like, I don't got a whole lot of money for Magic cards, and I don't have a whole lot just to sit on. But like, money.
I need a playset at least just because I would play this in Modern.
Like, this is one of my favorite cards. When I saw this come out, like, I made sure I bought my fucking playset this early when it was like 5 tickets.
I know. Fucking, I saw for everyone.
So sick, and I don't even like blue and white, but that card is like seriously also one of my favorite fucking cards. Like, I love that card so much. And this is the problem I have with digital cards. I can't buy like 20 of them and just roll around in them.
that's
why I don't like buying digital cards. I'm like, man, I just gotta play with these. I can't just sit around and look at them. Like, I can't rub them all over myself and be like, oh guys, the sand trap, he's so good. I can't do that. So that's why I'm still like half and half, like on the fucking, the paper and the moto market.
No, it's funny. A couple of people I know, they picked up from the vaults 20 and they were waving it in my face too, like, man, check it out. And it is, in all honesty, like, it's one thing to say, oh, that's really cool. But when you see it in real life, Kevy.
Yeah. I haven't even seen it in real life, but I've seen pictures.
I almost was like, man, I do know how to choke punch people. And I was like, I was so close. I'm like, maybe I could just really quick, just take them out and get the fuck out of here. But no, I didn't. I was like, they're my friends. I can't hurt them. But I was like, oh, those it's just gorgeous. Like, the foil, they're just beautifully done.
That's what I saw too. And like, honestly, in paper cards, like, I've never really paid too much attention to the, like, from the vault sets. But I do know that they've said like there's like a exclusive foil process for the from the vaults. Yep. And like, I could almost see that, like, just the pictures that fucking Daniel was fucking shooting me, like, texting me from his set, and I'm just like, God, those look fucking pretty. Like, those look prettier than normal fucking foils. Like, what the fuck, man? I'm so pissed off that I didn't get off my ass and get one.
Hold up. I got a question for you guys.
What's that?
Yeah.
Now this is from Will MTGO Strat. I don't know if you've seen this. He had the top 5-10 podcast that he does of a certain month, and he likes
it. Oh, is that the one that like the Swedish dude that we end up making it onto his fucking like YouTube video every once in a while?
Yeah, awesome. Oh, what did he say?
So his local game store, when that he went there, and they had no idea what was going on, and they had from the vaults for MSRP, and he bought 8 of them. He could have bought 20. Shit.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm not shitting you.
So he didn't know any better?
I would buy them all.
Maybe the lady at the counter didn't know, and he kind of felt guilty. He's like, you know what, I want to leave some behind, so he bought 8 of them.
Yeah, I felt guilty, but I bought 8. Like, I'm sorry, asshole, you still fucking bought 8. Like, you can't say you felt guilty.
Hold up. But so he bought 8, and he told me about it. I was like, you know, I'm going to leave those there, and I'm going to come back in a week. I was like, if you go back in a week and they're still there, you know, buy me one. He said, sure.
Buy the fuck out of them.
So he goes back in a week, and the game and the owner hates him. Like, he's looking at him with death stares, wanting to kill him. You just got, because you just bought him from MSRP by 8, you know, just hates him to shit. So now he's like in a moral dilemma, you know, to himself.
Do you give it back?
Yeah. What would you guys do? And hey, wait, how much would you give him back? What would you give him back for? What would you guys do in that
situation? Okay, I mean,
In that situation, like, I mean, I understand being like maybe I got to, you know, take advantage a little bit, but that's not something that, like, I'm sorry, like, if he went and bought those from a fucking lemonade stand for that money, then, you know, take the money back to the little girls, fine. But if you're a store that's, you know, you're LGS that sells shit, like, if they're going to sell them for MSRP, which is what they're supposed to be fucking sold for, if they haven't been paying attention to the market value of them or whatever, what might be involved with it, you get 8 of them. Fuck yeah, get 8 of them. And when you go back and if they stare daggers at you, be like, oh, maybe you should get on the internet sometime and tell fuck yourselves. I'm sorry. Like, my LGS sells all their shit at MSRP, but they're not fucking retarded. Like, they know that the shit's worth. Like, you know, when I went in to go talk to Barb about, like, when I finally went in to put my name on the list, 2 fucking people short, put my name on the list, she's just like, these things are definitely going to go. I'll put you on the backup list, but, like, you know, basically we know what's going to happen with this. Like, these things are going to be fucking expensive. She knows better. That woman's got a Black Lotus. Like, she's been a collector since the fucking early 90s. Like, you know, she knows better, but they don't have any interest in playing the fucking game. They're just like, you know what? We get our product. We sell it to our customers. When it's gone, it's gone. You know, Modern Masters, they're like, well, we had a couple boxes for us and the rest of them all got picked up and all our shit got sold out within a half an hour. Now, you know, From the Vault 20 is coming out. We know it's going to be fucking expensive as shit, like, value wise. But we're still going to continue to do the same thing we do. We know better. But if you don't know any better, if you got them just sitting on the shelves for MSRP and don't know any better, and then you get pissed when the guy comes back that bought 8 and is just all, what's up? And then you figured it out because some dude came in and was just all, are you kidding me? These things are selling for fucking X amount of dollars on fucking pre-order online. And then get mad at that guy? Fuck that. I'd steal a pack of gum on the way out.
What about you, Maddie?
It depends on the store. Like, if this was a scumbag store, I've shopped at a few stores around here, and they're like, if there was a store and they were scumbagging me the whole time, like, telling me, you know, Modern Master boxes are $300 or whatever, yeah, if I walked in and they said $39, I'd say, I'll take as many as you want. Because that's, they're trying to game me. If it's an honest store, in all honesty, like, I used to shop at Excalibur Comics, and the guy would, like, be, like, you know, giving shit away, and I was like, can I pay more? Because, like, you're bad. Like, you should not give everything this cheap. So, at that point, I'd say, can I have one for myself, maybe one to put away? But I wouldn't buy them all, because then it's like, I'd be like, you know, guy, you really charge more.
That's what I don't understand. Like, yes, the market value, like, the street value of these things, like, for a lack of a better term, the street value of these things is fucking exponentially more than the MSRP. but your fucking store isn't paying street value for them. They're not like, it'd be one thing.
I know. They're paying
them on fucking eBay.
So they're making money regardless. Right.
They're making their money just like it was any other fucking product on their shelf. If it was packs of fucking M14, nobody buys them. Nobody gives a shit. Because it's M14. But, you know, and they're making their fucking money, you know, they're still making their money. They're like any other fucking store on the planet. Yeah. If you walk in to buy a fucking bottle of shampoo from your fucking grocery store, and then suddenly they find out there's like cocaine in that shampoo, and a bottle of that shampoo is worth fucking like $600 on the street, and then you come in and buy all the shampoo that they have, and then they find out about it, and they're just all, you're a dick for doing that. What? How are you a dick for doing that? You're a fucking store.
You know what happened though? This is what things. It was probably the employee that fucked up. I mean, the owner.
The owner wasn't there for that. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So like I've personally been at stores where you know the guy's like filling in for an hour or two, and they I've been in situations where I know the owner. I know he's not here, and I know he put a kid on the cash, and I know people are like trying to like, oh, can I get this for this? And they're trying to fool the kid, and I've had to go in many times and say that's wrong. You can't do that. But again, that's true. I mean, you fucked up. I don't know.
Yeah, Marcel, what's your thought on it?
See, me, my gut reaction when he told me that, I was like, you know, sell them four back at MSRP, you know, whatever you paid for them, and keep four for yourself and just leave it at that, you know. But then thinking about it, you know, it took some time and actually thought about it. That was my gut reaction, you know, just to do it like that. And I was like, you know, you got to really weigh it out. It really reacts to how the store is and who the store owner is. If he's a scumbag and you think he's just going to crack him and sell him back for 160 to the people, then that's, you know, then fuck
that. You're going to feel like an asshole when that
happens.
Like,
exactly.
You're going to see those in the case fucking for more than you sold it, like each card for more than you sold it back to him for.
Exactly. Then you know what? Then you just completely did a disservice.
Yeah, and I agree.
You did it wrong. You just hold on to it. He was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to people in the community and trade the packs away for cars they have at MSRP. So, like, you know, maybe two Domries for the thing. And that way they gets in the hands of the
really
community.
That's really cool.
You know,
that is a really fucking cool way to go about it. Like, I'm actually that taken aback. That's a good way to do it because you're not fucking around. Like, I mean, the guy's got his shit. Like, he's got his fucking playset.
Yeah.
And then he gives back – you know, lets people that couldn't fucking get a hold of them, because as soon as, you know, the store figured it out, I'm sure the price fucking skyrocketed, and the kid that wanted to get a hold of it was just like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have that kind of money. But then you have somebody that's, you know, fucking playing Robin Hood and just being like, hey, man, I'll trade you this shit off. I'm not going to take a hit on it.
Yeah, you need trading is actually doing it for less if you think about it. You know, that's more of a service. And, you know, I think that's right. And I would definitely keep a playset. You know, a lot of people don't even have a playset. They're happy to get one. I would keep my playset and have no moral, you know, qualms whatsoever about that.
See, my thought is way less fucking, way less nice than that. I was like, you know, if you were going to go as far as to be nice and sell some back to the fucking store owner, say the store owner is a fucking good dude. And, you know, like you guys were saying, like, you know, maybe they're not a fucking scumbag ass store that's just going to crack them open, but they're just all, you motherfucker, you knew this shit. You didn't say anything. You're in here all the time. You came in, swooped in, bought a bunch of them. First, I'm going to tell them, A, I could have just bought all of them, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll sell you the other four back if you want. But what we'll do is we'll take the average between MSRP and what they're fucking selling for on eBay.
There you go. Gets valued.
We'll split that right in half. You can. I'll sell you them back. You can fucking make the money if you want to. Do what you want.
There you go.
You know, if you're going to be that way about it, or you can suck a dick and I could just keep them.
or if I sell them back to you at cost, you sell them to other customers at cost. That's the only way I sell them back.
Right. As that was coming out of my mouth, that was another thing I thought. I was like, I don't know how you would go about that. Like,
see, you know what I would have done?
Because you know, as soon as they leave, they'll be like, "All right, fuck that," and then take the price gun
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
Well, here's what I would have done. I would have said, "Can I see your DCI diamond order form?" So I, you bought them for $21 a piece. Okay, so that the difference is $18. Here's $18 times four, and then I would just give them. I would just give the packs to the next four customers that walked in. Like, there you go. There's your $18.
These
are the responses. I see Kevy gives this evil, dark response. Kevy's and Maddie's got this really nice one. I'm somewhere in the middle. This is what I expected.
I honestly think that all three of us are probably balanced somewhere in the middle of that too. Like, we all have our dark sides.
Oh no! I'll tell you right now. I'll be honest.
And I like to, like, as much as, like, I might just be like, well, fuck you, and I'm taking all of them. I would like to give some of those away to fucking people if I have the chance. Give it to the players that can't get a hold of them. And so I know that there's times where you motherfuckers that sound like saints would be like,
I'm holding on to it,
yeah. Hold on.
Kevin, you are a saint. You came and gave us a free performance and from the sounds of it, a whole fucking lot of gas. So yeah, you know, like that doesn't come easy. So you're not saying you're a dick, you know.
No, I just want to use that. Was a dick.
but I am a dick, though, you know.
This is the secret tech that you guys don't know. I like to come off like an asshole, alcoholic that would punch you in the mouth if I met you. Marcel's the nice guy. Secret is, Marcel's the fucking dirty shark. And I'm the guy that will give you the shirt off my back. No,
I bet like Kay says this.
No, I'll say Marcel's a lot nicer person than I am.
No, you don't understand. I came up from a checkered background, so the current me wouldn't hang out with my older me. Just put it like that. So, you know, so I've learned from my past mistakes, and people take me for the wrong way, but you know, you could always go back to, you know, the 90s, but we don't want to go there. So we'll just keep it cool and, you know, have a good time.
I've always thought, like, the current me and the older, like, fucking the 10, 15 years ago me would fucking fight to the death. And then we'd end up figuring out it was, like, for the same thing.
Women. No.
Yeah. No.
No, that's my bitch!
And sadly, it'd probably be just a fight.
Look at those two lanky-ass dudes rolling around in the mud. Just throwing some beer and then let them piss it off.
God, yeah, and they're yelling the whole time and interrupting each other.
I can't understand what they're saying. They keep interrupting each other's insults.
You're back to step two. You're back to step three. You're back to step two.
Yeah, I don't care who wins. I just want them to shut the fuck up so we can enjoy ourselves.
That's the best. Oh, man. So we should talk really quickly about the heroic. No, I want to talk about the other two mechanics that Theros looks like. Really, yeah,
quickly. I like heroic. Heroic's nice. Who about Bastow? Hold up. We haven't even talked about – I mean, sorry, Bastow. I keep saying this shit wrong.
Bastow, Bastow. Yeah, it's Bastow. I bestow on you. Okay, well, we can talk about Bastow.
Bastow is probably the most exciting mechanic out of everything.
If you don't see that. It's the most complex mechanic I've read in a while. Like, so, I still understand it.
How does it work?
All right, I'll play the layman. Okay, so this will tell you if Wizards designed this correctly. So I look at this.
Hold on. Read the card for the people first
I will. Okay, so it looks like it's a creature. It's an enchantment creature, and it costs 3 and 2 white. It's a 4/4. Now, it says bestow for 5 and 2 white, and that is if you cast this card for its bestow cost, it's an aura spell with enchant creature. It becomes a creature again if it's not attached to a creature. Now, my first gut reaction is, it costs more to cast it as an enchantment? That makes no sense.
Hold on. But let me follow along. Because you've already, like, speaking of the layman, you've already lost me. And, like, yeah. I need to read this.
Okay, well, read it. Now, I'll finish the card. So it's got a
I don't even know where it's at.
It's on Mythic
Spoiler. Is it on Salvation?
No, it's on MythicSpoiler.com. What the fuck?
Show notes. In the Skype window, man. Click on the nose. Don't be that dumb.
Don't be – yeah, exactly.
No, I'm serious. I was looking at Mythic Spoiler, and I didn't even fucking see it. Yeah. What card has Bestow on it?
See, Kevin's trolling us real time right now.
It's the very first card in the upper left corner of the homepage.
Archon.
Yeah. Celestial Archon. Now, it has flying first, so it's a 4/4 flying first striker, and this is enchanted creature gets 4/4 flying and first strike. So, explain to me, like, if I have this correct. So if I cast this as a creature, and someone tries to kill it, it becomes an enchantment?
No. You can't, so what happens is,
no, because it's just, listen, like, it's just, it becomes a creature again if it's no. Okay, sorry, I got it backwards. So if I spent the bestow cost and I stick this on my fucking Gladescover scout, whatever, right? And then someone edicts it. Now, does it turn into a creature again and sit on the board, or does it go to the graveyard?
Yeah,
it goes to the creature. That Aaron Forsythe talked about this. He said specifically they tried to design it so it won't fizzle upon resolution.
What if I saw that tweet. What if I cast it as an enchantment and I'm about to put it on my creature and you Doomblade my guy? Does it die because it lost its target?
No, it becomes a creature.
Right.
So this is like cool. Super powerful. Yeah, so like you don't get 2-for-1. At the worst, you're spending more mana on the creature that you could have spent.
So
what, 2 cheaper?
So what do you think? Okay, so Marcel, you played Rise probably. Is this better than Totem enchantments? Or what?
It's more expensive. Right now, we only seen one. It's more expensive than Totem. It doesn't provide the same thing that Totem does, but it Totem still opens you up for 2-for-1s if you had removal in your hand at the time. This one eliminates that 2-for-1 in a way because
it diverts the 2-for-1 because if you killed the creature, yes, you 2-for-1 me. But then once the creature was on the board, then I have a 2-for-1 on you because you try to kill it and it comes back. So.
But you still get a 2-for-1 with this, though. So this is actually better than Totem in the sense that you don't open. There is no open for a 2-for-1.
Right. You're not open. Like when you're casting this, you're not open to be 2-for-1 at all. Like if you're gonna fucking bestow it, like I mean, if you want to cast it as a fucking creature, then you cast
That's why
it's more expensive to bestow it.
So here's the thing: do you think they're gonna put something that the bestow cost is cheaper?
Possibly, like we were on Brainstorm Brewery yesterday, and they're talking about possibly cheaper if it had if the creature came into play and had a drawback, like maybe that caused
tapped or something. Yeah, that could be interesting. Yeah,
or if the somehow the creature caused negative damage, and the creature was like an enchantment that killed other creatures, and then your opponent's creatures, then it came into play as a creature. There's things that could be done with Bestow that's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, here's
something interesting. So haunted plate mail, which is
I gotta buy some right now. Fuck.
Yeah, which is that? I think is it 4, and it costs 4 to equip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 4. And it's basically the same thing. It's a flying first striker, and it kind of does the same thing because if it's unequipped, it turns back into equipment. And I wonder if that was their test for Bestow. And they dropped an M14 because it functions very similar to how Bestow works. I still almost would play that card over this card.
No. I mean, over this card. This card is not that good.
It's a rare. I don't think it's good. 7 mana just to put an enchantment on a creature. I think I would never play this.
This is limited. No, this is limited playable. Are you kidding me? A 4/4 for 5
with first strike. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Especially in limited, like if you want to go fucking 7, like when you get fucking late game, you want to go 7. You put it on something. You know they've got no flyers. Like all you need to do is fucking put it up in the air and give it 4/4. And then you don't risk anything, even if they can, they can kill it, it's still going to be a fucking creature. Like, yeah, limited. This is fucking nuts. And I would play this.
Actually, all the cards here, like very few. I mean, maybe the guy is not limited. Is constructive playable, but like all the cards that they spoiled this last little sound is.
The only card that really I don't like is the Shipbreaker Crack, and I don't like it. I just think it's very boring.
You know what really sucks is that we finally get a fucking Kraken to talk about on this cast, and it's like all eh.
Yeah, it's crappy look. Like, a 6/6 for 6? Okay,
it's not really a fucking Kraken. It's a crab. Look at the art.
Yeah, it looks like a crab.
Well, that's what Kraken look like on this plane. It's a crab Kraken. But I mean,
you know, have more Kraken. Morrow said there's going to be Kraken.
Yeah, there's going to be
more Kraken.
I'll just, as long as there's an instant spell that says release the Kraken and it flashes in one, then we're happy. Like, that's all I care about. I want to see this. But like, okay, so looking at like the monstrosity mechanic, and this is Marcel, you tell me what you think. So we've got three cards with monstrosity so far. You got the Ember Swallower, which is a fucking awesome card, which like forces everyone to blow up lands. Then you got Shipbreaker, and its monstrosity is it fucking just gets big. It looks like that's it. Right? And then it taps guys or
and holds them and holds it down.
Okay. And then we got Palookas, the world leader, that's kind of like a fight one. So it seems like monstrosity is going to do anything.
Like what they were kind of doing. Like to me, this seems like their Titan cycle for this set. They weren't going to give us Titans.
Yeah, Gods of the Titans.
These are like
level creatures. You think so?
If you played in Rise of Eldrazi, they had these level up creatures that you can hang on into them and level them up from level 1 to...
Right, right.
This is kind of similar. You only get level 1 and level 2, and there's no extra stuff. So it kind of got that kind of feel more than anything else. And we can see from the way that everything is templated that you got Monstrosity and then X. It's some kind of number here. So basically, Monstrosity is this creature gets X number, whatever number of creature, number of counters on it. So that's whatever the cost is, and you do the Monstrosity, it becomes monstrous, and you get these counters on there. Then everything that's monstrous, it seems like, is going to have some kind of ability when it becomes monstrous, and then it has an extra ability on top of that. So you're evaluating the creature on different levels on top of, you know, what it comes into play with and how powerful that is.
Well, it's even more than that, because it's like, if you look at Ember Swallower, he's 4 mana, but then it's 7 mana to trigger him. So you look at him as, this is my turn 4 play, and it's potentially my turn 7 Alpha Strike.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You evaluate initially on what it is to come into play, and then you evaluate on, you know, the monstrosity, and then you evaluate on what the monstrosity, you know, bonus is on top of
it. Right. So then here's the question. In draft, do you always take the monstrosity creature?
No.
Same converted mana cost? So let's say there's obviously he's a 4-4 for 4-5, but there's another creature with another benefit at 4 mana. Do I always take that if the format seems slow enough that we can get there?
This is hypotheticals I'm not going to dive into. Like, I hear what you're saying.
Maddie, you're talking out of your ass. I'm not going.
Yeah, I know. like, maybe if you had some, I understand what you're saying. In a vacuum, yeah, monstrosity is better, obviously, because your creature's going to become bigger and it's going to have some bonus. But, you know, you got to really put this in the lens. And are you going to hit them? Because all those monstrosity is expensive.
Yeah,
the
they're
bestow
very
is expensive. So we're already seeing, is this going to be a much slower format? And
it sure as fuck seems like it, eh? Like, all the powerful cards seem like they're very slow, but it also seems like this is going to be very similar to Rise of the Eldrazi, where it's like you either are playing these super fast underdecks or you're ramp into these monster battles.
Monsters.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, it's my monstrosity against your monstrosity.
Which makes sense, because, I mean, like, I wasn't even around, like, for, like, Eldrazi, the Eldrazi block, in Standard. And but everybody's been harping on that, like, since I've been around. They're like, oh, man, we need to go back to Eldrazi. This would be awesome. And, like, it feels like this is their way of kind of going back to it.
I'll be honest with you.
Without rehashing it and just like, this is like, okay, this is kind of what you guys have been asking for. I mean, we're not going to give you exactly what you're asking for because we have
different shit.
Agenda. Yeah. We have different shit going on. We're not going to just give you the same set over again, but this is kind of the direction that they're going. And that's kind of the ebb and flow of sets.
I think it's a possibility just because the enchantments, like, you know, for auras to be effective.
That's
waste a turn. Right. This creature, and you're doubling up on this creature, so you're causing all those potential 2-for-1s just by having auras. So maybe you slow down the format, all of a sudden, you know, the auras are worth the chance of going fast.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. And you know what? If the format turns out to be like a monstrosity battle, this Shipbreaker Kraken is like an Alpha Strike, because it is like, reminds me of Frost Titan, which was when it's Titan on Titan. That one beat everyone because it just tapped everyone else's fucking Titan. If this thing actually does, it taps up to 4 target creatures. That's crazy. Like, I don't know. It, late game, maybe that's just like, you know, you drop it next turn and then Monstrosity, you win. So,
well, yeah, if you, you're limited, that card is going to tear the whole board out. Like, you just, that's bomb.
That is.
6/6, that becomes, I mean, sure, you got to wait till 8, but you basically
have down
4, 10/10, have down your biggest 4 creatures.
Yeah, does this not sound like fucking Eldrazi shit to you?
It does, It does. Now, let's talk about Heroic, because I think, in all honesty, like, we've just read, you know, the God mechanic bestow, this, like, divinity mechanic, and now who?
Right.
Okay, wait.
If we're going to talk about the heroic mechanic, I have to say this one thing, because we didn't get to glazed past it earlier.
Hold on. Stop, Kevin. We're interrupting.
You bastard. Right, you're fucking interrupting.
Hold on. Hey, wait!
Stop it! I was just going to say, like, reading all those other mechanics, heroic sounds boring and not powerful enough.
Fuck that.
Doesn't it? It does. No, it sounds like look at Annex and Cymide. Like, when you cast a spell, it gets 1/1
creature strength. This is what I want to talk about is all Annex and Cymide.
Go.
You mean Anal and Chlamydia?
Yeah.
Anal and Chlamydia.
That's what I
read. So, when I forgot who turned me on to it. Like, somebody posted a tweet at some point. They're just like, oh, like, this is Sparta.
It is, yeah, it is.
But then when we looked at, like, when you posted the link to, like, what came out today, like, the second half of the Theros world building, I started scrolling through pictures. And then all of a sudden I got to this spot where I was all, oh, shit, this is Sparta. And it was all of the art was just fucking straight up Spartan warriors. And then it comes to the artwork of Annex and Cyanide. I wish they would have reached a little further into their own world instead of just taking shit from somewhere else. But, like, that whole side of fucking Theros, this is fucking, like, 300. Like, that is King Leonidas and his fucking queen. And then, the Spartan warriors, it's like, man, you guys could have either just called it Leonidas and whatever the fuck her name
is. Well, they're
or,
not good.
Yeah, but so that's really the only point I wanted to make is like, yeah.
Thank you for interrupting me for that point. That was excellent.
All right, go ahead, Kev.
What I was going to say.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin. Yeah.
Hold on. That's a trade winds talk and stuff.
Yeah, they always drink a trade winds motica, the motherfucker. Okay.
He's going to do a brainstorm brewery microbrew.
Oh, he is. Oh, fuck it. I can't wait. I can't wait. He was telling me all about this, like, jalapeno beer, and I'm like, this is what I want to try. I want to try that. That sounds insane. But anyways, that's off topic. So that's another.
Hold on.
Speaking of jalapeno, you got interrupted.
Now I'm on the jalapeno sidetrack. Yes.
I like bagels. I'm a bagel guy. I love bagels. I like bagel and cream cheese. So my brother, for the first time, ordered a bagel with melted cheese, and I looked at that shit like it was disgusting.
Oh, that sounds gross, dude.
And then he had me try it. It was, a cheese bagel, Asiago cheese bagel, cheddar jalapeno cheese in there. And I cannot explain how good that is.
Really? Jalapenos and bagels? I don't know. Like, what? Maybe.
Cheese on the inside melted on an Asiago bagel. I cannot express. I know my flavor.
I've taught you guys so well. Hearing that conversation just devolve from fucking Theros spoilers to cheese bagels. It was my heart is proud right now.
Oh man, there is one thing I remember.
You're
when we
have to have chaos.
Yeah, when me and Kevin did the beta episode of Heavy Meta, and we sat there, and we were like, what do you think? Was that good? I'm like, I don't know. We kind of went off topic like about 8 times. He's like, I really like it. And I'm like, I do too. This is just going to be a thing where we just ramble off.
See, I was on Monday Night Magic, and like Tom, like you guys, I don't know if you guys know Tom from Monday Night Magic, but he is a podcast god. Like,
yeah, literally. He is.
He is beyond awesome. And like Monday Night Magic, like off topic was what they did. Like the first 30 minutes of Heavy Meta, first 30 minutes, you didn't know what they were talking about. It wasn't a magic podcast. They were talking about, revenge crabs, which are basically like, lice that you put in someone's pants as a revenge. Various things. And Conley was on there on the episode I first was on ever, on Monday Night Magic, talking about, I'll take $20 to eat a bucket of poop. And soft serve.
I could never do that. That $20, no way.
No, he regretted saying that. It was just in the heat of the moment. But Several people try to offer him $20 for him to do that.
I got $200.
He's just all, wait, no, that was dumb. Yeah, hey, disclaimer, I'm going to follow Connolly's fucking, you know, footsteps and be like, disclaimer, anything that I claim on this show that I will do for money, I probably won't do if you come up to me at a venue.
Yeah. It's for radio, right?
It's radio entertainment, motherfuckers.
Radio.
Now, that being said, the other half of the shit that you guys suggested me, I probably will end up doing it. So they at least suggest it to me. I'll tell you whether I'm going to do it or not.
All right, let's get back to this heroic. You were talking about heroic, Maddie.
I was. So I so the heroic mechanic in general so far from what we've seen, in my opinion, I just think it's underwhelming. Like, unless we get some crazy mythics that, or if heroic is all about lower casting cost cards, fighting the mythics, okay, I could see it. But like this Anthusa Citizen Hero for 5 mana. I don't know, dude. Whenever you cast a spell that targets it, you can,
You get what is it? 6 power of your land. So you
target 3 target. Yeah, but your lands just become 2/2 warriors.
That's pretty. Are you serious?
I guess.
Okay. Now, we don't know.
Okay, I get it.
We don't know what the tribes are gonna, like. Okay, replace that's warrior. Just to figure out like how powerful this could be. Replace warrior with human. Like, you know, just for the moment, like
it is human. It's legendary human creature. So I guess.
No, I'm saying warrior creatures. If you were to replace it with
humans,
like just saying, like with what we're dealing with, like you know how much we love our fucking human decks, you know, and the interactions they have, Champion of the Parish, shit like that. Like obviously, I know that this isn't going to work. But what I'm saying is we don't know what's going to happen with the warrior tribe, and those warriors coming into play might be very, very pertinent.
Well, you know what? I think Marcel,
if you could have fucking 3 target lands you control become 2/2 human creatures in a deck that we're playing right now, just to fucking, oh, sweet, there's 3 more fucking pumps on Champion of the Parish, and fucking.
It wouldn't pump Champion of the Parish, but I gave it, if they had a human lord, I hear what you're saying.
Well, there is. There's that Beastmaster girl that when she attacks, all attacking creatures get plus her power.
Right,
I think she was from Return of Ravnica. So, I mean, obviously the only problem I don't like about this card is
Wild Beast,
yeah, there it is. But so 5 mana, she comes in, I've got to wait till turn 6, then you could, you know, sorcery something on her, untap your 3 lands. Does it say untap them? No. So if you can't, so you gotta have 3 lands. It just seems like that's gonna be very hard to Alpha Strike with. It might work. It might. I don't know.
It's a decent card for limited, but like I'm thinking like heroic.
Limited, sure. I'm just heroic, trying to break heroic for standard. That's.
I understand what you're saying. Like heroic does not seem like a great mechanic. Like if you think about it, you target this creature, you got to spend a whole card to target this creature for a minimum value that you're probably not getting the most value out of, so you can get the ability out of it, which is kind of mediocre. Yeah, I mean I can understand where you're coming, but I think they probably played with this mechanic enough that they realized how powerful it is. Like, you know, Anal and Chlamydia.
It's repeatable too. So while Monstrosity is a one-time thing, it's like the heroes could keep doing it. So
I think there's going to be at least a couple hero cards that are going to be standard.
I feel like that. Like it's comparable to like the battalion mechanic. Like there's so many fucking battalion mechanics that suck. Yeah. But like then you have like frontline medic.
There'll be 3 of them.
That one's fucking awesome. You know, like it's. Yeah, I feel like they have this mechanic. They have to space it out. They can't make all of the battalion mechanic just be fucking retarded.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, you know, they have to space shit out. And so we're going to get some shitty ones. We're going to get some good ones. And there might be that good one in there. Because, like, the way the mechanic works, I feel like, especially, like, an enchantment-based fucking, like, whenever you target that creature in, like, an enchantment-based fucking world, like, you're going to be targeting shit constantly. You're going to be targeting your own shit all the time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that might come into play. Like you're more often going to be targeting your own shit with stuff than you are used to because this is an enchantment based format.
And look, you've seen the set they got heroes versus monsters. And I really think that's going to play with this theme. Like, you got monstrosity, you got heroic. And I think they're opposite ends of the spectrum where they want to go. Right. Heroic means you want to flood the board, and then you get the advantages by having more creatures on the board.
Yeah. It's the board, flavor, yeah.
Creating this attack that's going to be beneficial for you. So I think, you know, that's going to be play a different spectrum of where the monstrosity is a slower game, where you get these monsters, creatures, to get these at the same value, but it's going to be a slower game. So now you got these two, that's going to impact the limited format where you got these two sides so that you get some kind of balance in the middle, you know? And I think that's just that's the way they're trying to form it out.
No, you know? I agree, Marcel. I think that, like, when you're looking at, like, the flavor and just the entire feel of everything, we just came out of Return to Ravnica where you have the guilds, which everything is, like, powerful in small, compact fucking pieces because you have all these different guilds and shit like that. Like, you come out of that block, you get into this block where you're literally, instead of going from, like, you know, the 10 different guilds that are fucking fighting amongst each other, and they're a lot more compact and their synergy is compact to those colors. Now you have to
change model color up. Rewarding.
And that's so now is. So now we come into a world where, like, you're going, like, fuck it, you know, just like the dual deck says, you know, heroes versus monsters. Now you're going to a more wide open format where the colors aren't going to matter quite as much, because color was a big fucking thing through the whole Return to Ravnica block because of the guilds and shit like that.
Well,
now,
it's funny. Color actually matters. Like, I think they've done a really good job where they've...
No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, you have these mechanics that follow across the board, you know, across
color. With your guild, like, set, yeah.
You're not set in a guild trying to synergize, like, you know, extort. Like, you're stuck in black and white. You know, shit like that. Now you're in a spot where you're like, okay, we're going to widen the world out. We're going to go heroes versus monsters. You got big ass shit. You've got fucking heroes that are strong and fast. And then you got big fucking slow beastie monsters. And flavor wise, that's awesome. Cause they cross the guilds. The colors, and you can fucking, you know, hopefully fucking it pans out. But you have, like, a more wide open world to deal with, whereas I think that the last block was a lot more tight knit, and so they're trying to get away from that because, I mean, you don't want to do the same shit.
So Kevy, check this out. So I think Marcel's going to be interested to hear this too. So I think we know we get Elspeth as one of the Planeswalkers, and we know that there's two new ones. And I was reading through the Planeswalker's guide, and they all but, like, are saying Kiora, which is that Merfolk. Weird looking.
You got a black Planeswalker.
Yeah. What? We get a black one?
Yeah. You didn't see it in the in the thing, the Theros guy, the where they show off the packs and everything. There's one of the packs. There's a black guy and like a lion, like, armor and everything.
Link. So, Link.
He. Link, yeah, let me pull this where? Up. Oh man, it's in the
Anyway, So while you find that, what I was reading in here is they state, they're like praying to some god, and they're using, like, the same Kiora, whatever. So I'm like, it just fits. Like, the name is obviously pulled from this. If we don't see Kiora, I'll be, like, 100% surprised. Now, what's interesting, I'm going to call she's going to be monocolored, mono blue. I don't think they're going to make them buy green blue, which is kind of sad, but I think they're going to stay monocolor.
No, I don't think they're going to stay all monocolor because they got all M14 to stay monocolor, and they don't want to have a standard of just all monocolor in a multicolored at the Ravnica. So? No, I don't think they're going to do that. That would just be completely just like I understand, like, Theros, the fact that Theros is so heavily intensive on monocolor the way that it is with Chroma 2.0 Devotion.
Yeah, maybe they might make them all bicolor just to fucking fuck you over with the whole devotion.
They're going to have synergy between the two blocks. Yeah. There's going to be synergy. They're going to have some anti-synergy. They're going to have some tension in there, of course, because that's a good way of playing it. But there's going to be synergy between the blocks. So I don't think they're going to be – because you see they already got some cards. Like, some of the cards in Mystic Spoiler, if you look at, like, say, the Destructive Reveille, that's a blue card that's, like, there. You got Annex and Chlamydia.
Yeah, Boros.
That's Boros right there. And then you got the other one, the Satire Hedonist, that has this thing where you can pump into this other thing. So they're going to play off the dual colors. I don't think they're going to push into three colors. I think they're going to – keep it as close to two colors as possible, but they're going to make the two colors as strong. and really like try to hone it in and really try to push the guild.
So here's the other rumor that like completely ties into that is the land cycle. And the land cycle that I'm hearing, and it makes a shit ton of sense.
Oh, yeah, I want to ask you about that.
Okay, so the land cycle, I didn't even know this land cycle existed. It's called the Nimbus cycle from Future
Sun. Yeah.
And basically what it does is it almost rewards you for being devotion. So if you have a dual land and you're devoted to white, it gives you blue.
So read what the card does.
So basically it comes into play untapped for one and it gives you a colorless mana. Then if you tap it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you tap it with nothing in play. If you have a plains in play, you can tap it for blue. If it has an island in play, you can tap it for white. So it's kind of like a dual land. It's not as good as shock lands. It's not as good as fast lands. I would argue it's not even as good as the buddy lands. It is a dual land. I know a lot of people are like, oh, this sounds great. I don't know, dude. I just don't. I don't love it, man.
I don't know about this one. I mean, I remember playing back in Future Sight and all the cards, and you know, I love it. Horizon Canopy is probably the best card I like out that cycle. You know,
Horizon Canopy is a good card.
And Graving Caverns, the filter lands are the ones that actually saw a cycle, and that happened in Shadowmoor, I believe.
I would much prefer filter lands over these because, you know, here's the problem. So let's say I'm playing a two-color deck. I drop this, and I don't know. Let's say another land comes down. Like, a gate won't trigger it. So, like, I could have a gate in play and one of these Nimbus lands, and it still won't tap for mana because I don't have a swamp or an island in play. Like, it's actually much worse than a buddy land, and that's why I think they fucked up. Like, I hope they don't go with that cycle because you didn't print buddy lands in M14. These lands in Theros, when you think about rotation in a year, when the shocks are gone, these lands have to be hold up the next format. So I'm hoping it isn't that cycle.
Okay, I don't think it's this cycle, but in terms of like buddy lands, they're actually probably the same thing in standard as how the buddy lands would function. Because with the gate, the buddy land wouldn't be coming into play untapped. With any of the shock lands, the buddy land would come into play untapped.
Yeah, but the next turn, you could have a situation with the buddy land, whereas you put it in tap turn one, turn two, you get either color or mana. With these Nimbus lands, you could run into a situation where you have one colorless mana, and then next turn you could still have one colorless mana. Like, you're not getting your color fixing, and that I don't like, so.
But with the buddy lands, they come into play tapped if you don't have any one of those here.
Yeah.
And you still get one mana out of it. So,
yes. It's a colorless versus fixing issue. So for ramp, it still ramps.
I almost think.
Well, and we still have, like, the fixing from fucking, like, with shock lands, what they do.
Right now.
For mana fixing.
Yeah.
Like, but what I think what it is, like, that makes sense is, like, hey, okay. Let's not make it fucking, like, perfect mana. We have to try to win games. And so.
I guess.
That makes
more
sense.
Now, what
I also heard Wizards was going to do a whole new cycle.
A whole new land thing, and
I don't think it's going to be a Future Sight land.
What I'm hearing right now is there's the Nimbus lands, and then I'm hearing Legendary dual lands. And I don't know what the drawback would be.
It would be no drawback.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, Legendary is its own drawback. You just do Legendary, and then you got the two, the island, and make them so that they're Legacy playable, but they're not going to replace the Legacy cards, so you're not going to just throw an 8 of in your deck, because you're going to have to you know, balance out with the Legendary. I think that would be an awesome land.
And they would get on a nose. I do too. I just it makes so much sense. Like, I think it's too scary, and it might be too close to the reserve list, but I mean,
fuck that reserve list.
Fuck them.
I mean, you know what? There's a point at which Wizards has to say fuck it. Like, you just have to say fuck it. Like, come on, man.
Well, that article they did, they talked about their new policy on just duels in general. It was the whole thing where they talked about that there's going to be no duels in M14 is because that they understand that by having duels in M14 and they wanted duels in Theros, that would be too much concentration
too much
of duels.
Fixing. Yeah.
So, but what they realized is that, you know, it's not fun to have just the allied lands as the only ones that are having duels and then stifling any enemy colors. They said it's better to have that kind of fixing for everyone to play the decks that they want to. And they realized that's just better for the game in general. So I think they're moving forward that we're going to be seeing duels in every advanced block, and maybe even in the core set you will no longer see duels in them again.
I, yeah.
That's interesting. Because if you think about it, in the core set, you only have a limited number of cards, and duels take up 10 slots.
Yeah, here, you're right.
If you spread 10 cards over a block, that's a lot less slots dedicated to dual lands.
Right. I guess. I mean, I'm really hoping, like, Wizards, you know, come on, man. Like, if imagine if they actually do legendary dual lands. Theros is going to go down as, like, what a fucking bomb. Like, this set's going to just be so amazing. So I'm praying I can, you know, the whole legendary thing, I'm over it. I get it. It's the way we play now. I've been in some situations which is hilarious. Kevin, you're going to love this. I was playing a guy online and I have a Johnny and he's like, "Oh," and he's got me dead on board, and he's like, "Okay, you're dead because you can only kill your Johnny and it's not enough to kill me." And I kill my Johnny. No. Oh, he had a Johnny on minus or on two counters, so I couldn't neg three him to go Alpha Strike. And I'm like, great, I got a Johnny in my hand. I put it down, and the window pops up. "You noob, you just killed yourself." And then I'm like, "Choose the Johnny you want to kill. This one." Beep. And then I kill you Alpha Strike. I'm like, dude,
hell yeah,
it's the new rules, man. So I know we really bitched on the legendary lands, and it still is a flavor fail, dude. I still think it's a flavor fail, but I'm getting
used to it. I'm getting used to flavor fail.
It's such a flavor.
The legendary land.
How is it not a flavor fail, Kevy? If I have a Johnny sitting in front of me, and then I'm like, "Hold on, a Johnny."
Oh no, the legendary. I thought you were talking about legendary lands.
Oh no, the lands are cool. Like the whole, like I'm like, "Hey, Johnny, hold on a second. I'm going to summon another Johnny. Johnny, hey, one of you got to die. Kill this guy." Like it's just stupid, but.
Well, I mean, I get that, but at the same time, I mean, like you know, if you got a spark because one night you were jerking off. And then, like, too much static electricity happened, and then, like, you ignited your planeswalker spark, and then now you're allowed to transfer between planes. Like, it doesn't really sound too off to me that, like, you might run into one of yourself. Like,
maybe. Maybe if they're time traveling, sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're allowed to shift between planes and shit in this world, you're going to time then, you know. Well, then there's a good chance you're shifting planes back and forth, and then all of a sudden somebody figures out that, like, oh, shit, every time I shift a plane, I'm still there, but I'm over here now. And then
– oh, that's that is fucked up. So every time you shift a plane, you actually leave a copy of yourself behind? There's a fucking story for you, folks.
Yeah, there you go. Throw that in the fucking flavor. Then you end up revisiting the plane, and you're like, oh, shit. One of us has to die. Unless you've gotten so much better as a planeswalker that you don't even recognize yourselves. Like, you could pass each other on the street, and, like, one of you is still trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat, and the other one's fucking bringing lightning and brimstone down on the fucking community.
Oh, like, my God.
There's a good chance that could happen. And you wouldn't even notice yourselves. And they should add that into the rules text. They're like, you know, if you've got the garbage Jace, and Jace the Mind Sculptor out at the same time, they don't even recognize each other, so you can actually just have them out at the same time.
Man, you look cool, dude. No,
it's like, man, you look like what I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's all, you know what? Fair enough. Shut up.
Yeah, I am. The other thing that was kind of hinted at to me by a certain Deep Throat individual is that it really looks like we're going to get a Swords to Plowshares – like enchantment, like one drop.
Talking about this earlier.
Yeah,
this guy, and he won't come on heavy meta because he's.
He won't come on because he's trying to have time with his family. That's what he's saying. So yeah. I mean,
valid point. You can't argue with.
I can't, and I. Hey man, if my wife said no, then I'd be like, hey, I'm sorry, podcasters. Like, you know, your family's more important, but I hope he finds time because, you know,
is that all I have to tell you guys to stop doing this?
That's like, no.
So
I wouldn't stop doing this to save my life. I'd be like, well, the ambulance is coming and I've OD'd, but like, I mean, we're only at like 2 hours. Like, we've got to hit 2.5 hours, so I'm going to stay here until it's done.
Well, anyways, talking about these one mana, like, because obviously if you look at, like, what's spoiled so far, there's some very powerful creatures, very powerful actions.
Maddie.
Yes.
I haven't blatantly interrupted you yet.
Oh, you fucking bastard.
I've done it a bunch, like, I've interrupted you a bunch, but I haven't blatantly interrupted you for no reason.
You see,
so go ahead.
Ferret isn't here tonight to take the abuse. So I'm getting it. I get it. but this whole thing, I really do think we might see, you know, one mana cards. They come down and they're almost like those like primordial seals. I guess they were just called seals. But I think something like that would be really good. It's enchantment, it sits there, and then you can sack it to trigger the effect at any time. I really think we're lacking for some instant speed exile removal, especially in white. So I hope that that is part of the cycle of these enchantments. I think that would be sweet.
You're going to need some kind of exile, because if you got an indestructible guys, there's got to be some way to deal with them, because...
Yeah, and there's going to have to be a instant... Like
there's always the option where Wizards was just like, you know what, fuck it, let's just go get drunk at the bar. Like, we could balance this set, but like instead, let's take user ideas
and do then the Conley.
Yeah, yeah. Now here
and then day two happens, which is like Born of the Gods, and they're all shit.
Let's try to get our shit together before we gotta play, you know.
Now
wake up, drink the Red Bull.
Yeah, wake up, drink a Red Bull. We're gonna design some cards, people. It's because like that heavy. Last set, we just let everybody run all over each other and because we were busy drinking.
It was like Kevy. He woke up, he put on Twitter, you know what I need? He did some signals, snowball, snowflake, nose, but, you know, had lightning bolt, and then someone jumping in the air, and it's like, I'm back in it. And it's like, yeah,
yep. I need. Boom! Here we go. I'm alive again.
That's fucking awesome. You know what happened, though, on Morrow's blog there? He teased the, what is it? It was five words, which is like, clone target planeswalker. Or you get a copy of. So I think we're gonna get some.
No, you're talking about Morrow's Twitter?
Yeah, his Twitter account.
No, the five words were "Look at my dick, sir."
I love it. You had to put "sir" at the end because you're like, oh shit, that's only four words.
I think the best is take control of target planeswalker.
I would actually. You know what? I think if we got a clone that cloned planeswalkers, that would be sick. I would love to see that. I think
that's somewhere they haven't gone yet, and I think that wouldn't be. I don't think that would be broken. I mean,
no, I don't think it would either.
I think that would be sick, actually.
So it would just be a good, you know, it's all about the casting cost. If it's two mana, it's going to be broken. If it's like five mana,
well, because if you can clone planeswalker,
don't think I'd play it at that.
Now you have to get rid of it. Well, I don't know. My first reaction is like, okay, it would have to be super expensive, because if you can clone a planeswalker, then you get to clone their planeswalker, have it, and it destroys that one.
No, it doesn't. There's a new legend.
Oh no, with the new rules, it doesn't. Okay.
Wake up, motherfucker! Right. Smack!
I'm sorry I got backwards with this rule, because like, at the same time, you guys were adjusting to this planeswalker rule.
You figured it out, and you just had a good, solid comment about, you know, singularity and people coming across the plains and there, and all of a sudden just happened to forget about it all of a sudden. This is great heavy metal.
You know what?
What we do.
Now, there's a lot of times people don't get heavy metal, but honestly, when his brain does that, half his brain is still going in that direction.
It is. You see, it's a train wreck that's not going to ever happen.
Yeah. His brain is derailed, and sometimes he'll like cross back over there when we're talking. And you're like, what the fuck are we talking about?
The best part is like six episodes later, we find out that either I was just drunk or I'm a goddamn genius.
I think it's the genius.
It's like a flip of a coin, man. Like you guys are fucked with me. Like you could either take my advice and like.
And profit in three years.
I think you're actually 70-25, and as long as you hit that 25, you're going to be doing a lot better. You know?
All right. Marcel, I think, hit it on the head. It's more 70-25.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, but when he hits that 25, it's going to be all over Twitter, and that's all you're going to ever hear about. And you're not going to hear about 75.
I am a genius! Bye, Chandra!
Still don't
Chandra went up. It went up from $5 to $9. You know, I bought in at $5.
Oh, snap. I bought it.
Yeah,
it did.
It did. I mean, that was probably by the guy that won the SCG Open with a Chandra in his deck. I still don't get this card, man. Sorry.
Chandra's cool. I mean, it gives you. I mean, if you got a slower deck, it gets
Yeah, Chandra. We won't talk about what fucking Marcel does with Chandra.
Oh yeah, I have this deck for Kevy that was dismissed in the dream, which is that seven enchantment. It costs six and one blue, and then all your opponent's creatures become illusions whenever you.
And then you can ping them.
Yeah, with Chandra, and then Razzleric is the worst because then you take out two of their creatures.
Oh my god, it was like, I watched it happen, and I was like, I don't even understand what's happening. I was like, I don't even understand what's going on here. And then I was like, oh, I get what's going on. Oh shit. And I think like, in the chat, I was all, that is insane. Cause I was on top of the world, cause the first game we played, I was just like, all, curb stomp your ass! Yeah! Get it!
Yeah.
Get it.
He has two drops, Gerald's Messenger, three drop, Gerald's Messenger, four drop, Olivia, five drop. Yeah, I almost had him though, but yeah, he fucking put my face in the curb.
Get it! Cause I just started playing fucking zombies again, and I was just, alright, I gotta get back into the groove of this. It's a little bit different than it used to be, but it's not too far off. And I started getting down and having a good time, and I fucking stomped all over. And then all of a sudden
he decided he wanted to play white humans. Why? I don't
understand. Cause Marcel hit me up. And he's
that's because half his brain was still deciding that that's a good deck to play.
No, it was because I hit him. I was like, man, I'm on Modo. I want to play some games. And he hits me up. And I was just like, my first instinct is my new zombies deck. So I play that, smash some shit. And then.
You thought you were good.
I'm used to going to game two. But then it was just like, okay, that game's over. And then
it was
like,
just a one game. We did it one.
A one game thing. Because Marcel was podcasting while I was doing this shit. And so then it fucking hits me again. I was like, I'll get back to like my white humans deck. I want to fuck with this a little bit more. You know, I'm more used to this. I'm just
taking with this zombies thing.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
No, he got curb stomped by his own deck.
So, how did you get curb? You got curb stomped by your own deck. How does that happen?
Have you ever had the sun itself, like, set on you?
Yes.
not like metaphorically, but just get so close to you that you catch on fire and die.
He had more suns on his plane. He had like nine planes in an aggro white deck. You know, and I'm just looking at him. I got this control deck. Go keep drawing him, bro. It's all good.
The point where it's just fucking funny. I was like, I've got an empty hand. I've already fucking blown my load, what I had. And then like, I'm all sweet. I got fucking, you know, eight planes on the board and like some shitty one, like a cathedral sanctifier or a fucking, you know, like a fucking doom traveler or whatever it was. I'm just like, all right, cool. And like every draw, I'm all, oh, sweet. Guess what? And he's like, planes? Next draw, I'm like, oh, planes? And then, like, his Ravager gets a hold of me. The Huntmaster flips over because I can't do anything. You know, like, it just, oh, man, I got my ass whooped. I got curb stomped. And then
the next turn, I had minor problems. And then Kevy's just trying to be really nice. Oh, you know, those minor problems were a problem. You know, like, not like it just didn't happen. He was just trying to be cool about it. You know, like, oh, that's fucked up, dude. You know?
He's laughing on the inside.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll fuck you up right now. Fuck you. Fuck you. And so like in game three, Kevy fucking comes out the door. He's fucking heated. Like he.
Oh, dude, yeah, that game three was fucking hot from my end at first.
Yeah, he had like double champion of the parish. He had like, you know, gathered townsfolk. But even though I was able to deal with the champion of the parish and dock him down, you know, we were going back and forth, and he had me down to a good respectable life total of about six. He was still at like 18 or 20, and then he drew
and then... planes. Yeah, planes. Planes.
How many planes are you playing in that deck?
Oh, like 45. Yeah. there's 20 planes in that deck.
How many?
20?
There's 20 planes in that deck. Because it's so like low mana, like there's 20 planes in that deck. I saw every one of them at least twice in that match.
Yeah, because he got me down. I was biting my teeth, and then it just slowly just crept into Chandra, into Jace, until you cannot no longer attack, into Kyle Zarek, into the Mist and the Dreams, and just like, you know, fuck your life.
Yeah, I started looking at it, I was like, wait, this is way too many planeswalkers for me to be able to deal with. Yeah.
This is a Dirtle deck, remind you. This is not really that good of a deck. And I'm like, I felt bad. I was like, you know, I shouldn't be playing this against Kevy. This is like not the deck he wants to play against. Like, this is anti-Kevy.
It is.
Take the game as long as you can.
My ass. I remember at one point when I was just like, oh, I was all right. Well, I'm not like in the best position, but I think that, I mean, I'm still doing fucking fine. I'm great. And I've got a couple things in my hand that can do some damage. All right, fucking cool. And then Marcel's just all game's over. And it took me a second. Like, I saw Chandra come down, and I saw fucking Huntmaster was down, and I was like, oh, I got some shit. I'm fine.
Like, oh, he took forever to die, yeah. Like, I got him.
No, and I thought to myself, I was just all, oh, I got this, you know, fucking, like, this isn't a big fucking deal. I've got an idea.
I'm coming back.
But then when it started actually happening, like, and I wouldn't die, like, it, fucking every, like, the top deck I could possibly get was fucking perfect. It was just like, oh my god, oh shit, oh, what's happening? And I was like, Marcel, this is fucking insane. And then it's just like, oh, Oblivion Ring, cool, get rid of Chandra, bye.
Yeah. All right. And then planes.
Planes. It was good shit, man. It was, even though I got raped, it was by my own deck. It was great. And then I moved on from that. Marcel's just all, hey, you know, he's all, you down for another game? I was like, actually, I got a buddy. He's coming on, fucking Raging Gumby. We've talked about him. You guys met him in fucking Vegas.
Yeah.
David, he's like my roommate in Vegas that I came with.
David. Really, David was really cool. I like David.
Fuck yeah, dude, that guy's awesome. He very well may be writing and doing videos for Mana Deprived now. Cause he's never really got into this, like, this side of things, but, you know, he's very magic. And you know, he plays GPs and PTQs and shit like that all the time. He's done very well. You know, he's fucking like, he's missed fucking the Pro Tour a couple times by like fucking breakers. Like, the dude is really, really good at magic, and he's got an awesome personality. But he just isn't into this side of it. Like, he's never really got into like the, you know,
content side.
And he can give some ass. Isn't he an MMA fighter?
Yeah. Oh, and he also is an MMA fighter, so he could beat everybody's ass. awesome. That dude just had my wrist wrapped around my head and stuck in my throat. Like, yeah. He's like, just check out this move.
like size up people. He doesn't look like he looks kind of unassuming, but. You can look at him, and then you look at him. He's like, you got to double check, and you're like, oh, yeah, he knows what.
You're like, wait a second. This guy probably could.
Yeah, he could probably put some beat down. He's going to use you as a weapon against the concrete.
That's awesome. He's going to use you as a weapon against the concrete. Your head is going to break that concrete open.
Exactly.
He's that type of guy. But he's the greatest fucking dude. Like, by the way, all you fucking SVU members, I think I've said this before, but go follow him, Raging Gumby on Twitter. He's just getting used to the magic community and what's going on. But, he's got an awesome personality, but at the same time, he's, like, actually good at magic, whereas, like, you guys seem to like me, but I'm not any good at magic. But he's, we were dicking around with, he was in the same draft the other night with Slick Jagger and, like, just the same draft pod on Moto.
Oh,
with
Slick, man.
And KYT.
Shout out to Slick Jagger and Rough Draft. Check out that blog. You got to check
it out. Oh, yeah. Rough Draft is awesome, man.
I love that. But, like, Slick Jagger brought up, he's like, oh, hey, fucking Raging Gumby's in this draft too, because he was talking to KYT, and like, we started bullshitting back and forth, and like, he actually got fucking knocked out of that draft early, made some fucking mistakes, had some bad draws, whatever, and then like the next fucking, he just jumped into a draft after that, and he wrote back to like all of us on Twitter, he's all, is this how you do slivers? And KYT
and
just,
he crushes
like,
it.
KYT's just like, and he just posted a picture of his slivers deck, and KYT's like, oh my god, that is like the best deck that you could possibly have in this format, like in this limited format. It was just a fucking retarded fucking red-green slivers deck. And then we got to talking, and I was like, yeah, dude, David's like the best limited player that I know, but I only know like two limited players, so, you know. But, you know, he took down the Winnabox thing at fucking GP Vegas. he did his thing. He did really well. And so we were kind of, you know, KYT asked, he's like, does he want to produce some content? So now actually he has a bunch of ideas where, you know, a broad range of ideas. So I'm not even sure what's coming. It's like everything between like playtesting and teaching people, like somewhat newer players like me, and playtesting like that, like videos, all the way up to like fucking him breaking into Legacy because he's never really got into Legacy. But
yeah, let's do it, Gumby. That sounds sick.
So he's really getting into like doing this and fucking KYT seems interested in it. And like the one thing I can say, this motherfucker is like phenomenal at this game. Like it's retarded, like the knowledge he has. So after I was done playing with fucking Marcel, I was like, yeah, I was going to jump on and play a little bit with fucking with David.
Yeah, and he said he beat your ass, and it wasn't your deck that beat your ass.
With my own deck, because, okay, he's just like, because all he does on Moto is draft. He doesn't really have a bunch of cards, so yeah. he's all, do you have a deck? He's all, how many standard and fucking modern decks do you have? And I was like, oh, I've got like 1.5 modern decks. I've got that fucking Blister Coil weird deck, and then my burn deck for modern. But I was like, I got like fucking 2 or 3 fucking standard decks, like decent, like good standard decks on Moto built. And he's just like, I don't have shit on here. He's like, you know, if you can fucking lend me a deck, then we can jam some games. I was like, all right, cool. And I've never like lent somebody a deck, so it took me a minute to figure it out. And I was like, all right.
So 25 minutes later, the deck is transferred.
Yeah, no shit. Well, no, it's just like, I was like, is there like an easier way to do this? Or do I have to just sit here and go through my deck list and make them all tradable and then trade them to you? And he's like, yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. I'm like,
you know,
man,
you know what? I know they'll never do this for MTGO because it's not fair. But if there was ever an easy way to take a deck that you have in your system and just say, lend to friend for 1 hour, that would be so easy.
Even not for 1 hour. It would be awesome if I could just take my deck list, like that's saved on Moto, and like mark that as tradable, so I didn't have to go.
Oh yeah, that would be good. Yeah,
yeah, and that wouldn't even be like broken and retarded and a hard thing to do. It'd just be like, I'll make this deck list tradable, and then like mark all my cards untradable, make this deck list tradable, and trade them off to my friend, and then he can trade them back. You know, but so anyways, the red black zombies that I just built. KYT's list, but like, it's KYT's list.
It's your list that KYT stole. Come on.
Okay, it's my list. No, I had to go get my Life Bane zombies, and I had to go get a couple other cards. It's KYT's main deck exactly. No, actually, it's not KYT's main. No, it is. Now it's actually KYT's main list exactly, minus the Mutavaults. And the caverns, like I don't really see much of a point in those. I'm just running red black lands, but the sideboard's quite a bit different. And so I loaded that. You know, I'd been playing with that for the last couple days, and I've actually not been super impressed with it. Like, maybe it's because like when zombies, like when I was playing zombies before,
you know, what was awesome. I just went and took a piss. And Kev, you're still talking about the same shit you just talked about.
Yeah, that's right. He goes,
that's what happens. You guys let me talk.
Cheeseburgers.
Okay, I'll shut this up.
Zombie cheeseburgers.
I built this fucking list. I've been playing it for a few days. And he's all, you know, what do you got? And I was just like, standard wise, I was like, I got zombies, I got fucking white humans, and I got fucking red, green aggro. So I shipped him the zombies list. Then I watched him just basically piss all over me with my own deck. Like, watching him from fucking like turn 1 to turn 3 was just like, I never would have thought of doing that. Oh my god, you know how to play this deck way better than I do.
He's like, how you play the deck, dude.
I'm like, I have access to these cards because I just gave them to you. And fucking, I sat there and watched him take that same deck that I've been playing for the last couple days and just fucking abuse it. And just walk all over me. And then we jumped on Skype and talked a little bit. We're just like, he's just like, this is why you shouldn't make that play. This is why you shouldn't play white humans against this deck. And then, so then we go red, green, aggro, and but what was cool is that's the thing that I'm lacking is I'll get to play with you guys here and there. We'll get to play games and stuff, but I don't have that personal interaction where I'm what we ended up doing last night was, which is part of one of the things he'd like to do with his fucking article stuff or with his fucking video stuff, is to be able to sit down with somebody like me who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. And I'm sitting there telling him, I'm like, okay, well, this is where I'm at. This is the line of play that I'm looking at. And then he's like, that's a good idea. And then the next turn, I'm like, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm thinking. He's like, that's not a good idea. And here's why.
Yeah.
This is the play that I've got for you. And actually breaking everything down. I think
kind of like how Scotty does in his stream when he has certain pros coming in and playing their decks.
Right. So it's the reverse of Scotty's stream, where Scotty is using pros and your stream would be about you making horrible plays and someone saying that's really bad.
Well,
I think the difference there is rather than Scotty having a co-pilot and doing eight mans and shit like that and have a pro telling him how to do it, it's he's talking more along the lines of him walking through the interaction as me, the opponent.
Okay.
Like that. And more instructional type. And we're sitting there saying hey, here's where I'm at. This is what I have, and doing videos like that to kind of, and using current standard decks that are,
Can you do that? Do you got the time to do that? Because that would, I think that would actually be very marketable.
I don't really have the time to do it.
can you stream for an hour a day? Somewhere.
Well, yeah, it's funny. Tangent and I are supposed to be doing the same shit. Very similar shit where it's we're streaming, but you're catching both ends of it kind of thing. It's not
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to be your O2 drop stream?
Yeah, that was the idea. That's what we were going to do. But, it's Tangent and I, and our schedules rarely ever come together enough to do even a podcast.
Well, then you need to do you need to do your own O2, do your own stream. Whoever could be a guest will be a guest. If no one could be a guest, then you just play as it. I mean, someone's going to be a guest. Someone's going to watch your stream. If nobody's watching your stream, then you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. Right. Someone on your stream is going to jump on and play it. And you just...
Well, no, I see. This is the other half of that, though. What David's looking at doing with, his stream. Spending time teaching me, and this is what I think is somewhat genius about this, is he's spending time, teaching me, or not just me, but people like me, friends, shit like that, not just having me on every fucking episode. But then he's got, he brought up his friend Brian fucking something. God damn it. I wish I could remember what it was. But, he's made the Pro Tour 2-3 times. Multiple fucking PTQ top eights and shit like that. Dude's a legit Magic player. And is good friends with David. And he was talking about running the spectrum, doing shit where David is teaching me the finer points of just this game and noticing those interactions and shit like that. And then maybe the next week, him getting taught how to fucking run his deck. And running the whole spectrum of all of it instead of just being hey, every week we're going to have Kevy Metal on and fucking we're going to teach him how to play Magic. And then when he comes back the next week, he forgot and we got to teach him all over again. He wants to have make it a very fucking instructional thing.
That would actually be really funny because every week you'd be the same stream. You're like,
I just come back the same dude. And
oh, how you guys know this by now?
Wizards and shit.
Yeah. Oh man.
That was probably a long, lengthy thing. But fucking yeah, vote for Rage and Gumby.
Yeah.
Done.
Shoutouts. I know you got to end this because I feel bad for your editing.
No, my editing is pretty tight. I'll just leave it all in. That's my
edit. You don't understand what I do. I fucking really dive through everything. No, air gaps and fucking the ums and the ahs. I really put some time to it.
No, you don't. Oh, no, I get that. Listen,
I put an hour and a half to 2 hours per hour of actual.
Listen, how does Jason Ault make any time on that cast then?
Yeah, why don't you just cut him out?
Don't you just cut him out right out of time?
You don't understand. I do cut him out. That's the whole point. He's like a Kevy. He just goes on and on. And he'll interrupt. And he'll just come in there Jason.
Say whatever the fuck. Jason. Oh my God. Could you imagine? Me and Jason should just do a fucking. Just one episode because nobody could ever handle more than one.
He did an episode with Aaron from Deck Tees, and that was interesting. Like, you know, Aaron, you know, Aaron's real steamy. And Jason kind of just did anti-steam. Like, the steam.
I haven't heard that yet.
It was an informative episode.
That actually makes sense. Like, Aaron does that. She's got that hot, steamy thing. She'd be like, oh, ooh. And Jason would be like, no, I absolutely disagree.
It was informative, but yeah. There's not that chemistry.
I don't appreciate your sexual advance.
Yeah. Aren't you going to ask me about getting in my pants? No.
Yeah,
no,
aren't you going to ask me about the pants?
Fuck it, then. I guess it's your loss. No.
What's the value of that? I mean, what's the value of that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The EV.
What is it?
Pants. And she's like, I don't know, you know, like, maybe we'll find out. She's got the mystery, sexy thing going on. And she's all, seance. That's all I have to say.
It's like the TCG. They got the gold rush. Yeah, it's gold rush.
It's the golden shower rush.
I love fucking Jason Hall. As much as I give him shit on this show, he's kind of become like, you know.
He is. He's
compared to the fucking A-Team anyway. Like, fucking Jason Hall is like our Joshua Lemish.
I love Jason.
Yeah, no, Jason Hall's awesome. He's actually pretty funny. I think, you know, you guys on Brainstorm having him on there is – he's good. I just love his quips. It's funny. It's a good cast with him on there, so.
Yeah, we like we had him before, and like our we didn't have quite the pizzazz. Like Jason brings a lot of life to the episodes, so he's a natural born talent. So
he's gotta have some rock and roll there.
Don't let him know I said that. You know, he's not gonna listen to this episode.
He doesn't listen to this.
Like, all of this is gonna stay in the cast, but as soon as you said Jason, it's gonna, or all of the times we've said Jason this whole time, should just take.
Yeah, I heard. Everyone quits. That's episodes, right? KYT said there's a no Jason clause in the contract, right?
Yeah, he did.
So, Patty, this is part of your editing, is every time we've said Jason in the last fucking 10 minutes, you just have to edit in this. Corbin.
Right. And so you want me to change this one to, it'll say Corbin, Jason.
Actually, I want to see Corbin on your cast. I think you guys might have an interesting dynamic.
I bring him on, man. He can come on anytime. I don't know.
Like, I think Corbin would be like, this is fun for a half an hour, and then just be like,
he would get bored and leave.
I gotta play LOL. LOL. I gotta play some League of Legends.
He's like, guys, there's not enough financial content here for me to stay. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I've had my couple drinks, and you guys are retarded.
It's all about getting.
But he also wouldn't be the type of guy that's gonna just keep that to himself and then tell Marcel. No, he'd say it on the air. He'd be like,
oh, yeah.
He'd be like, oh, you know, appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome, but I've had enough of this. This is garbage.
I'm about to go piss the Murph. Yeah. You
know? It's like Jay Bush, like, you know. Like when Jay Bush was on like episode 3, he's just all, I can't take any more of this. I have to leave.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Haven't you learned the episode? It's the best part of it. He's like, and I'm out of here, guys. And he just.
I heard that. I didn't think that he was seriously like, I'm done with it.
Oh, no, wow. He was out. He was gone.
No, he was out. The only reason he stuck on is because like he's just like, I think he felt bad. And he was just like, oh, shit. All right. I'll stick around on the call. I'm just not going to say anything else. And then we talked a little bit more after that. But he pretty much was just like, I'm out. I'm done.
Wow.
Then again, this was like our third episode, so we were just a bunch of fucking...
Yeah, you guys were basically nobodies at that point, right?
And then, well, I mean, we still are. Like, we were nobodies back.
When
we
did
still
we become
are.
Somebodies?
Oh, I know, because I try to shake, you know, a couple of pros' hands, and they just looked at me like I was a nobody, and that's all I'll ever be in the Magic.
Aww, let's see how bad it is. Look, I need the little violin music now.
I just want to be accepted by the pros.
Takes out a PT.
And when you get to know the pro, like, yeah, you either it's like a fucking dice roll. You get to know the pro and you're like, man, this guy's awesome. Like Conley, you know, dude's cool as shit. Fucking has a conversation with whoever wants to come up and talk to him and then fucking goes out and drinks with him afterward. And then you're going to get other guys who are still going too good for you. And then you start to get to know who they are. Like, even if you do get the chance to know who they are, they're like, you're really good at magic, but you're fucking socially retarded, and you just go home every night sit at your computer, play some Arimoto.
And put your dick in your hand. And that's all you do. And not even masturbate. You just put your dick in your hand.
Yeah, just put your dick in your hand. Because fucking Frankie and I figured out if they were masturbating more often, they'd be happier people. Like, if they just fucking stroked it up and down, instead of just putting their dick in their hand and just feeling like they're like, I'm still a man. Here I am. Now I'm going to start playing Moto. If they actually just tugged it back and forth a little bit, they'd be a lot happier people. They'd just be like, you know,
ooh,
what?
Liliana. Oh, yes. Ooh, Liliana. Ooh.
Oh, and I'm not, you know, and on that note, Kevin, there's no way to follow that up with anything but one saying, my friend.
Go fuck yourself, cheeseburger!
No, no, cheeseburgers is the new ending. That's it. You can't, cannot love that.
No, that was one of the top 10 podcast moments in history ever.
In history ever? I don't know, Marcel. That's
no, in magic history on podcasts, I've listened to quite a few of them. Cheeseburgers is in the top 10 without a doubt. Where it ranks within the top 10 is debatable, but it's within the top 10. That rant is.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the epic cube theft bagel. I gotta go make some bagels. Was that might be in there too?
That was great. Like that was actually probably
the cheeseburger better. Thing. I was like, I don't mean to sound like an arrogant like person or anything like that. Like I feel the same
too
way.
Late.
Well, no,
you were
what?
Serious. That was like this no, is this from the soul. Like you reached in there. I will go home and do nothing but suck my dick. Why do I need? I don't need no vegetables. I don't need no girls. I don't need cheese. I don't even need no fries. Ketchup, mustard. I just need cheeseburgers. And not in my hand. I'm not jacking off.
You know what the best part was when you said the no fries. Like you know what, Marcel's opening my eyes, Gary. That was a moment into your soul. It's like, I don't even think you knew we were there. He's just like, I'm just talking, man.
I didn't even know I was there. I had to listen to it the next time. I heard that when it came out. I had no idea what the fuck was going on. And that's the only reason why I feel like I could say, like, I appreciate it, like, as much as you guys do, because I wasn't even there. It was coming out of my mouth, but I had no idea. And then when I heard it later, I laughed that fucking hard. And it made me wonder where the fuck all of that came from.
And that's going to be like Kevy's Bachelor. Like, that didn't really work that one out. Like, this is really sounding to be, like, the preliminaries for GP Booze Cube. Like, you know, yeah. we don't need this magic. I mean, we don't need to be accepted by wizards. We could be completely banned.
It could be Kajuju weekend.
But instead of like what we were talking about in fucking Oakland this past weekend, like when we were like, I forgot my booze cube. I actually accidentally grabbed my actual cube. Because they're both in Innistrad boxes. And so I was just like, I grabbed my Star Wars game and I grabbed my booze cube. And then I got to fuck it. I was like, oh shit, I'm going to run out to the truck, go grab the booze cube, Marcel. And then I got out there. I was like, oh wait, this is not my booze cube. This is my actual cube. And there's no way this is leaving the truck.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I didn't tell you guys about the cube tractor. So yeah, I had some unhinged packs and they're like, unhinged packs. How much are those selling for? And we're like, $5. Yeah. I mean, how much you selling them for? I was like, yeah, you can buy them for $5. You only can get one only if you're going to play with them. And I swear every last one of them bought one of those unhinged because they wanted a
land.
And you know, these are the same guys. These are the same guys. As soon as they won, two of them won first and second place. They got their Sign of Blood play mat, the Sign of Blood t-shirt, and they're left.
Gone. Yeah, of course.
Right in the middle of Kevy's set. So, you know.
Yeah, they're just, all right, cool. I got this shit. I'm out.
So thank you for coming, but, you know, big fuck you for not staying.
You know what? I love the like, hey fans, you know, we're all for you, man. But you know what? Fuck you. You know, you came.
I mean, you understand?
That is rude.
They were nickeling and diming on packs. Like, oh, we're not gonna play with those packs. We need some better packs. And you know, we show them this and that, and they're just trying to nickel and dime every last one of them, and trying to come up and shark a shark. Oh, it's just like, God. You know, come on now. If you guys are going to come here and play, you know, do the thing. And
yeah, we're having a good time. It's fucking after. Like, and we told her, hey, we're doing a chaos draft. Fucking walk around the venue and fucking get your packs that you want to fucking play with and fucking roll down. But then there's, oh, sweet. Oh, you guys got packs? Oh, I want to fucking nickel and dime you down at a bar. Like,
yeah, that's stupid.
Apparently they've never been to a bar before because, yeah, you could go down the street and you could get a bottle of fucking Jaeger for, you know, $15. We paid $50 for one because we were at a bar and I was being kidnapped.
Hey, shout out to Tully. I didn't say that during the entire cast. I don't know.
Oh, dude, no shit. Shout out to Tully Gibney.
Tully.
Yeah, he was super awesome out there. You know, he hanged out with us. He went there and actually crashed in the same room with Time Elemental JR. The more I hang out with the JR, the more I like this guy.
JR's cool as shit, man.
He is a cool dude, man.
He's very unassuming, but the more you get to know him, you're like, yeah, this guy is boss. He's like, you know, he's a Batman. He's another KYC.
He's the fucking greatest dude, man. Like, he's so nice. He's so fucking giving. So fucking cool. Like, you know, anything you ask for, he'll give to you. But what's even better, like, dude, he told me that night. He's all, yeah, this is my first time in California. I was like, oh, shit, man, I thought you were from California for some reason. I'm not sure why, but I thought you were from here. He's like, no, it's my first time in California. And he's all, I basically landed at the airport. He's all, I love this kind of shit. He's all, I landed at the airport, and I just went looking around.
Yep. He came to GP Oakland for the O2 job party. He didn't go to the GP. He went to the GP with me just to pass out some tokens here and there, but he didn't play no game.
Huge shout out, man.
Because I mean, the Bay Area, honestly, if you really go to exploring, there's some great things out here. San Francisco's a world-class city for a reason, and I can't blame him. You come out here, why not go explore what's out here? He just went walking.
I went walking, and I went to go check out shit. Like, I didn't have an agenda. Like, I just went looking for stuff.
If you guys can't read between the lines, that's a boss move. That's how you enjoy life. That's how you got to do it.
Damn right, man.
You got to travel when you're young, because when you get old, you got responsibilities, you got kids, you got bills, you got all that. So get it out of your life early. Get ahead quick, and then, you know, do it later.
True that, man. And the last shout out goes to RU Unleashed, man. Ruben's back.
Oh, dude, that guy came back from the fucking dead.
Yep, he's back. So.
Oh, Jay Richmond, he about to play Matt. They love your playmats, Maddie.
Oh, everyone sweet. Your
playmats. So shout out to
you. I got one of those. I got Marcel fucking drunk enough.
He gave you.
Just all here.
So here's some free shit. Don't give me no merchandise. I don't know what I'm doing.
I got a stack of fucking Brainstorm tokens.
I still don't have this, man.
Oh, you don't? I'm sending some to Robot Large. I'll make sure. Yeah. Give me your address. I'll send you some. Yeah.
I can't wait to get
I got, this is what's fucking awesome too. I got fucking Scott, like all of a sudden, like while we're setting up our equipment, Scott from Sign and Blaze is just like, hey, shit, I forgot, I got something for you. And then gives me, like, they have the Sign and Blood red fucking spell books.
They got red ones now?
Well, they're going to be making red ones. But he said he's all, this one right here, he's all, we had some made as tests. That now the ones that we're going to be producing are like a darker red. But these were like a little bit of a run that we had made as test. And so I've got this fucking bright fucking fire ass red one, almost like pink fucking bright red fucking Sign and Blood fucking life book that I apparently is fucking some limited edition shit. So I have that now too.
Now you just need to like put a heavy metal logo on it.
I just want to hear offers. It's limited edition.
Touched by Kevin Metal. Touched
by Kevin Metal. More than likely, I peed on it at some point throughout the night.